is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White. He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Can we change the
good
opening?
Good afternoon, what?
I think we should change the opening to the playoffs and all of it.
All right, we'll get on that. We are on the air now, though. Welcome, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Happy New Year, everybody. John Murphy along with Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio as I adjust my little pack here so I can hear what's going on. Happy New Year. Welcome to the show. We're here until 3 o'clock with a good show planned and obviously a lot to talk about. Donald, I would say one of the most memorable 24 hours in Buffalo Bills history over this past weekend. It was really something. I know you were out of town experiencing it from afar, but it was pretty special to see what was going on, right?
Yeah, it was special for me to be able just to look on Twitter and see all of the different posts from so many different fans and see all of the different videos of the team reacting in the locker room and then the team on the plane dancing and doing all of that stuff and then fans all over the place as they watched the Ravens and what happened there with the Cincinnati Bengals, to watch everybody's reaction and just see how happy everybody was. And then, my son's reaction, see how happy he was. I mean, he's seven, so obviously he hadn't seen a playoff, and he's only really seen not too many, well, at least mediocre seasons. So now for him to be able to experience this is great for him.
Yeah, I had the privilege of being there for all of it, including the game in Miami on Sunday, followed by the post game, going in the locker room, being on the plane, arriving at Buffalo Airport, and, of course, kind of soaking it in and watching it. You're right, the reaction of people over the last couple of days has been really what's been striking. It's a playoff berth for the Bills where they haven't been in 17 seasons. The best part about that is that you can put that behind you. No more drought talk. No more people measuring Bill's futility in the future or failures and success in terms of the drought. No more people talking about that's such a Billsy thing to do. Really? Was that a Ravensy thing for them to blow that game in the fourth quarter? None of that. It's gone. It's lifted. It's like a weight lifted from everybody's shoulders. That, to me, is the key. And then the second thing is the reaction of the fans. And we're going to talk with you about that today. We've got a good show coming up at the bottom of this hour. Kyle Williams will join us in studio to talk about his play, his touchdown run, and this season, what this has meant to him. Trey Wingo, our regular Tuesday guest from ESPN's NFL Live, he joins us at 1 o'clock today. Donald's got nuts and bolts, a breakdown of a couple of things. What are you going to talk about on nuts and bolts today?
We're going to break down a couple of really some tight end play from the game. That's really what we're talking about as the Bills. We all know they don't necessarily throw to the receivers that much. They throw to their tight ends and their running backs. And so mm-hmm. We're going to break down some of the plays from the game. Obviously, the Nick O'Leary touchdown, the one that we missed on. We're going to talk about that one, Charles Clay, as well.
We'll talk about that with Donald. Plus, you're going to look at the Bengals.
We're going to look at that last that Bengals touchdown. And yep. It was such a simple defense that they ran. It wasn't supposed to, I mean, it was really a perfect pass by Andy Dalton to be able to break it, put it over top of that linebacker, underneath that safety. Great run by the wide receiver there. We're going to talk about all that stuff.
That's coming up with Donald and Nuts and Bolts at 1:30. And then Steve Tasker, longtime Bills special teams ace from the NFL on CBS. Steve Tasker will join us in studio here, too. Steve's going to be on the radio call of the Bills wild card playoff game in Jacksonville coming up this Sunday as well.
I can't win with Lorenzo.
What's up?
Lorenzo tweets me, wow, Donald Jones takes a vacation trying to run things, and now he's back on WGR 550. Unbelievable.
Man, Lorenzo. Here's a little spoiler alert. He was kind of on your case
I know.
Friday. Oh, you know this already?
Yeah. It's all good. You know, it's all right, Lorenzo. I'll see you Friday, though, and it might be just you and I on Friday, so then we can go back and forth.
Okay, look forward to that heavyweight battle between Donald and Lorenzo Alexander possibly coming up on Friday. So we want to cover a lot of territory today, most of it dealing with the weekend past. As today moves along, we will gradually shift into what lies ahead, and especially tomorrow when we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. A formidable opponent, Donald, and I know no one has said that very often in the past about the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I spent some time this morning looking over numbers, looking over kind of Jacksonville, the season they've had. The players they have a ton of first-round draft picks on that roster for one.
Yeah.
Both sides of the ball. They have Calais Campbell, who's had an outstanding year. He's a free agent signee from Arizona. Campbell with 14.5 sacks this year. The Jaguars are number two in the NFL in sacks. They are number two in the NFL in total defense. They are number one in the NFL in pass defense. And on offense, they're the number one rushing team in the National Football League with Leonard Fournette and Chris Ivory. So the numbers add up for Jacksonville, and this is not going to be a walkover down in the Florida Sunshine.
It's definitely not a walkover. I've been like loosely paying attention to that team all year and what they've been able to do, especially that defensive front with Calais Campbell and his 14 and a half sacks. The back end with the two corners, I mean, those are two of the best cornerback duo in the league. A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey, straight trash talker. And they've done a lot of – ESPN's done a lot of specials on his trash talking this year after the whole A.J. Green thing happened and those guys were fighting. So that's going to be something to look for because I'm sure he's going to try to get into the head of these young receivers that the Bills have. You know, he's going to jam them a lot. He's going to talk a lot of trash. That's what he does. He's a talented corner, but that's his game. The offense with Leonard Fournette and Ivory, I remember back to last year when the Bills played Jacksonville here and they had a strong running game. They didn't have Fournette on the team, but Ivory was very good. And then he got hurt and it kind of helped out and the Bills went on to win that game. But with Ivory and Fournette, the Bills linebackers and defensive front safeties, everyone on the defense have to come ready to play, bring their big boy pads because they are not the runners that want to run around you. They want to run straight through you.
You know what I remember about that game? And I was looking at that game again today as well. It was November of 2016. The Bills beat the Jags by 7, I believe. And I remember coming away from that game so impressed with the play of their inside linebackers, Posluszny and Telvin Smith. Mm-hmm. Those guys just covered so much territory. They were flying around the field. And as I look back at some of the numbers from that game this morning, I got thinking about how impressed I was with those two. They got a really good defensive front, including Marcel Darius, who's a part-time starter. And they've got they've got Malik Jackson, who is also a Pro Bowl performer up front. They've got Calais Campbell coming off the edge with his 14 and a half sacks. Posluszny in the middle with Telvin Smith. And two Pro Bowl corners with Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye.
Boye.
Mm-hmm. I'll get that right. By Sunday, I'll have it right. They have talent on defense.
You said enough this week. By Sunday, you'll be used to it.
They have talent on defense all over the defense, and they're the number one rushing attack in the NFL. They're for real.
Oh, they're for real.
I want to think so. They are for real.
And that is winning formula in the playoffs. If you can run the ball and you have the number one defense or top five defense in the league, you can win some games in the playoffs. The Bills' offense has to come ready to play. And regardless of injuries or whatever, you have to come ready to play and bring your big boy pads because those guys, when you're passing the ball, they're trying to get after your quarterback. And when you're running the ball, they are shutting that down. On the outside, wide receivers, you got to be physical this game. You got to be ready to be physical with those guys. I mean, they're good, and that's their game. They want to play bump and run. They want to play man. That's what they do. So you have to be able to get off the line of scrimmage, get off, you know, be able to push off a little bit legally at the top of your route. And create some separation. You got to be physical. You got to come ready to play. And on the defense, it's the same thing. Come ready to play with your big boy pads. But I expect it from this team. I mean, this is the first time this team has been in the playoffs. You got a lot of young guys on this team. Everybody's going to come ready to play come Sunday.
So we will talk about the Bills matchup with the Jaguars as the week goes along. Jacksonville at 10-6, champions of the AFC South. The Bills, the wild card entry at 9-7. All of that coming up as the week goes along. Today on the show, a little bit more of a focus on the last couple of days. And we'll talk with Kyle Williams, Trey Wingo from ESPN's The NFL on ESPN will join us at 1 o'clock, Nuts and Bolts with Donald at 1:30, and we'll have Steve Tasker in studio at 2 o'clock, all of that coming up. A number of other storylines we will follow today. The one that I maybe most warms my heart, Donald, is the Andy Dalton Foundation. Yeah, unbelievable. Andy Dalton, the AJD Foundation, just sent out a tweet that said, "We are blown away and so grateful for the amount of generosity we've been receiving. Keep it up and help us get to 150,000. And there's a picture there with Andy Dalton. He's got the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation. He says, thank you, Bills fans, over $100,000 raised. I mean, it's not just chicken wings or, thank you, Andy Dalton, or, you know, memes on the internet. It's actual cash money going to Andy Dalton's foundation. It's just a great response from Bills fans thinking, how do we thank Andy Dalton for throwing that pass, helping put the Bills in the playoffs? How about we donate to his foundation? Just a tremendous story. I love that story.
Andy Dalton might be the most popular man in Buffalo.
He might be the most popular quarterback in Buffalo. Seriously. You know? Oh, man. It's just an amazing response by Bills fans. It's incredible. And I want to get more onto this as the afternoon goes along. A lot to talk about, including, you know, the Bills-Jaguars matchup, what to expect this Sunday, and your phone calls as well. We want you to weigh in, too, on our topic of the day. We had no show yesterday because of the holiday. Hope everybody had a good New Year's. Hope you had a good holiday, right?
I did.
All kidding aside,
I
know you're going to catch flack from Lorenzo. You won't catch any from me, but
Oh, it's all good, you know. Yeah, it was good to get home, see the family, get down to Baltimore, see the family, watch the game with some Ravens fans, you know. So it was good to see the stun on their face and me be cheering and all of that stuff. It was a good vacation.
Yeah, good. We're glad to have you back.
How was yours?
I had no vacation.
Well, I know you were here, but your holidays. How were your
holidays? The holidays were great. Yeah, great Christmas with the day off then, and actually came in, did a little bit of work here yesterday, but that's good. I'm glad we're working. I'm glad we have a playoff game to talk about. Honestly, as late as 7:30 Sunday night. Well, I'll tell you my story. Let me get this set up first because I want folks to weigh in. We just want to know, where were you and how did you experience Sunday's Bills win over the Dolphins? It ended, of course, with the Bengals win in Baltimore. Want to hear from you about that. Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. There's tremendous videos out there of people celebrating. We had our own little celebration in the radio booth in Miami. I'll tell you about in a second. I saw Bills fans in the concourse at Hard Rock Stadium celebrating on my way down to the locker room. Of course, I was in the locker room and on the plane and saw that incredible scene at the airport. But let's hear from you. Where were you and how did you experience the Bills finally clinching that playoff spot and ending the 17-season playoff drought? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550.
Now, I need you, because you were breaking it down to me, the plane ride home. I mean, a lot of people saw the video in the locker room. So you could see that, and I'm sure there's much more to it, but the plane ride home, we could all see a video of the guys cheering and all that stuff, but you broke it down a little bit.
Yeah, well, let me start at the beginning, which was the game itself. I mean, and the Bills game itself was interesting. It was not the greatest game ever played, but there were enough memorable moments for the Bills to keep it interesting. And then, of course, it got close at the end with the non-recovery, the onside kickoff again against the Dolphins. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, as the week goes along. But there it is, a six-point lead, and they needed a play, and they got it from Jordan Poyer. A tremendous finish for the game for Buffalo. The celebration in the stands right there in Miami. I mean, by that time of the game, it was all Buffalo fans in the stands at Hard Rock. It was all Bills fans by the time that game ended. And, in fact, at the beginning of the game, I mentioned to Mark Kelso several times throughout the course of the first half, for these Miami fans, this feels and looks like a playoff game. I mean, when they pulled Jay Cutler after one series, I was like, all right, we're in playoff mode. These guys are, at least. But anyway, the game goes along. Bills win. And, of course, we had the video on from, watching the CBS feed of the Bengals game. Yeah. When you got Lorenzo coming after you again?
Yeah, it's Lorenzo being Lorenzo.
We're watching the game in the radio booth. Myself, Mark Kelso, our producer Greg Harvey, our spotter Jeff Matthews, and agonizing. And the thought went through my head around 7:30, like, all right, this is how it ends. The Bills did the best they could. They won this game. They held up their end of the bargain today. But it's going to end on the outside looking in again, as it has for so many years before. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, 4th and 12, they hit that pass. And we went crazy in our booth. We're in our radio booth at Hard Rock Stadium. We went nuts. I mean, pounding and yelling and screaming and hugging. And the game still wasn't over, by the way. There were 44 seconds left. So we all of us, including me and our spotter, Jeff Matthews, were saying, let's wait. Let's wait till those clocks show zeros there. But it was pretty amazing. And actually, we're making so much noise. The people in the radio booths around us were pounding on the wall itself, giving us thumbs up. The Dolphins radio crew was into it, enjoying our little spectacle. Game ends, more yelling and screaming, and I make my way down to the locker room from the radio booth at Hard Rock Stadium, going through the concourse a couple of times, all Bills fans going crazy, grabbing me, hugging me, high-fiving me all the way down. It was nuts. Get to the locker room, and this was maybe 10 to 15 minutes after the Bengals game ended, maybe 10, and there was still people, crying all over the room and celebrations, and it was amazing, just great encounters with Bills team president Russ Brandon and owner Terry Pegula and players Kyle and Lorenzo, your buddy Lorenzo. It was almost overwhelming. And a lot of it, and people have mentioned this, the staff, the guys, the people that have been here, trainers and equipment people and people who've been here for a while who've borne the weight of that playoff drought. I mean, it was great to see them finally get a chance at the playoffs. That warmed my heart in the locker room there.
For me, being a player who's been a part of this drought and not making it to the playoffs, I can only be happy for the city. I'm so happy for the city. I mean, I've been here long enough to understand how bad this city has wanted it. And for this city to be able to experience this right now, for me to be able to see the reaction on the videos and all of that stuff, it is a great thing, you know, for this city. They have wanted this so bad, been through so many coaches and GMs and different players and so much faith in the teams that haven't been able to get it done. And for this team to be able to get it done, and we could see it from the former players who have reined in, you know, tweeted and made videos and done all of that stuff saying, man, you guys actually did it. Congratulations to the city. Congratulations to that team. Congratulations to the coaching staff. You know, they've been through a lot of ups and downs this year. I mean, a lot of ups and downs. We go back to after the whole switching of Tyrod Taylor to Nate Peterman when people were like, Coach McDermott should be fired. You know, and the offensive coordinator needs to be fired and all of this stuff to now you're actually sitting in the playoffs. And this is something this team hasn't done or seen and the city hasn't seen in a long time. When's the last time they actually won a playoff game, though? Because that's the next step. I'm so happy that they actually are in the playoffs now. But when's the last time they won a playoff game?
Let me look that up. I don't have that at my fingertips.
It's even longer than 99.
So they lost the Music City Miracle. Well, I'll look it up now.
Yeah.
Let's find it.
So, you know, if they could actually go on and win this one, that would be great. And then go out to New England. So there's still so much. The reason I make that point is there's so much football left to be played. And we're all happy that they're in the playoffs. But now it's one and done, you know. And it's anything can happen on Sunday. You can win that game. You can go out to New England if you win this game. Who knows what will happen? It's always the point of getting to the tournament.
Yeah.
There have been teams that win nine games, teams that make it in with eight wins. And end up going deep into the playoffs, making a run just because they got hot, you know. So now it's time to get to work.
95, they beat the Dolphins in Miami and then went on to lose the following week at Pittsburgh. It was great. I mean, it's great to see the reaction of folks, you know, on media, social media, and people tweeting their responses. I'm so fortunate that I had a chance to experience all of that firsthand, real time, from the stadium in Miami to the plane ride home. You asked about the plane ride home. It was not, like nothing I've ever seen before. The players are so excited. I got work to do after the game, and I'm doing my work. But in the back of me, I mean, just chanting and singing and dancing. You've seen some of the video. It was out of control. It was great. It was fun. And the funny thing was, it's about a 2.5-hour flight from Buffalo to or from Miami to Buffalo coming home, and those players went on like that, singing, chanting, going crazy for about an hour and a half. So finally it died down. In fact, it was almost like somebody threw a switch. Party's over, and everybody sort of conked out, those players.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't sleep because I couldn't. I was too keyed up. But then we're approaching, you know, we're 45 minutes outside of Buffalo, and it's New Year's. And the flight attendant comes on the intercom and says, we're going to have a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Happy New Year's, everybody. All of those players woke up again and went crazy again because it was New Year's, you know, that 2018 had set in. All right, and then it quiets down. Now we're a half hour outside of Buffalo. And then the plane, and for some reason, the plane, you know, it was a 747. The plane landed hard with a thud.
Yeah.
And everybody went crazy again. Players, like, woke up and went crazy again.
It's alive, yeah.
It was just, there were like three separate parties over the course of that plane ride home. I've never seen anything like that. We land. The word was that there's going to be some fans here, but I don't think any of us expected that kind of turnout. First of all, it was 1 degree.
Yeah.
1 degree. And there were at least 1,000, maybe more fans outside. It reminded me of the old newsreel and video you've seen of, like, the Beatles landing in America in 1964. Just people chanting and going crazy. And players loved it. Players, of course, bring out their own phones, taking pictures of fans, vice versa.
That's a great experience for anyone.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Especially if you're a player on that team. When you think about it, and you think about guys like Eric Wood and Kyle and guys who have been here for some time, and then you think about these rookies, they kind of have a different – point of view on this thing, because as rookies you're like, you're so excited because, man, it's my rookie year and we made it into the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. This is a whole different level now. they know that it's been 17 years, but they haven't been here. They haven't even been in the NFL that long, right? So they're like, wow, that people really people are really excited about this, you know? Like, now it might have hit them that it's been 17 years looking at the reaction from the
fans. I was thinking what that airport scene meant, you know, kind of moving forward. And as far as – look, these players know that the community cares about this team, and they know that people are avid Bills fans. But I think they got another dose of it the other night when they looked at 1 in the morning on a holiday, 1 degree out there. Folks had obviously been waiting for a while to see that kind of turnout and that kind of response. Unless you're brain dead, you would have to think, whoa, these people really do care about this team. It's real, and it's tangible, and it was right there on display for them. It was just an amazing scene at the airport. I've never seen anything like it. We want to get from you a sense of where you were and what you did when the Bills finally clinched, when the Bengals hit that touchdown. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. We'll take your responses on Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. But let's hear from you. Where were you when the Bills clinched? What did you do? How did it feel? Give us a call. Here is Michael starting us off from Georgia. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, just getting off the treadmill.
Off the treadmill.
Hey, boy, appreciate both you guys. And in the words of your past friend, well, still your friend, but has passed away, Van Miller, do you believe it?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, but I want to tell you guys my perspective as a fan. What I was doing, we had friends over a New Year's Eve party, but I kept excusing myself down here in Georgia, you know, for the game. And the difference is, I think a lot of these cities like Dallas and Miami and, you know, Raiders fans, they're fans. They like to, you know, brag about their team when they're winning. But I think the difference is with the Bills fans, and I've been in a long time. I lived through the 70s. You guys know about the 70s when they couldn't win a game against the Dolphins, lost 20 straight games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but the thing is, the two fans, what I noticed being down here, running into other fans, it's more of a family. And even with you guys, okay, who are working at WGR and announcing, you know, you're not just announcing, you're passionate like we are. And I really think that the difference with Bills fans and maybe in Green Bay and Pittsburgh, it's a brotherhood. And that's what I wanted to say, and I'm so grateful for Sean McDermott bringing that to the players, you know, not having the, you know, getting rid of the big names, but this team is playing as a family, and I think it's wonderful, and I'm really glad we have him as a coach, and I think there's a lot of good things to come.
You know, what Michael and Georgia is saying there, what I actually take from it, you see, I come from New Jersey. I grew up a Giants fan. There's so many Giants fans, so many Jets fans there. But you have every sport there. So, you know, if the Giants are not doing well or the Jets are not doing well, you're like, all right, well, at least my Yankees won, or at least somebody else won, or the Rangers, or whatever it is. At least this team won this year. Here you have the Bills and you have the Sabres that both teams hadn't really won in a long time, you know. So now that you have a team that's in it, you can see how excited the fan base is because it's like, man, one of our teams is in this thing, the Bills. And the Bills, people are so passionate about the Bills here. So now for them to finally end the drought is a great thing for this city, a great thing for this team, the coaching staff, the new owners, to be able to get that whole drought, that talk of the drought, the mystique of the drought, all of that lifted off of their shoulders. Now the question becomes, Murph, and we'll probably talk about this in the next segment. I don't know if you want to talk about it right now, but does making it to the playoffs satisfy – should that satisfy the fan base? Just making it to the playoffs, if they were to go and lose this week, should that, just making it there, ending the drought, satisfy the fan base?
You asking me?
What do you think?
No. No. Bills are one of 12 teams alive. There's, you know, 22 other teams who'd like to be where Buffalo, or 20 other teams like to be where Buffalo is right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. You keep going now. You're in the tournament.
Yeah.
You win and advance. And we'll let people talk about that. I'd be shocked if anybody said, hey, that's enough. Pack it in now. Season's good for me. I'm out. Look, have they overachieved? A little bit. I mean, I thought going in they'd win 7-9 games. They won 9. Many people had much lower expectations for this Bills team, and I don't think they kind of understood what they were looking at here in terms of the talent level and the what was being built here. But this is just the first step, I think. This is just the first step.
The next question is, and this one goes to Doug Marrone. I mean, how the irony of actually having to play Doug Marrone now in the playoffs is that's funny to me. That you get to go down there, I'm sure he – I don't know if – you know, I was on the show down in Rochester with Duffy and Tommy and the boys earlier, and they were saying that, you know, he has a vendetta against the organization. And I don't know how he actually left the organization. I mean, you know more about it than I do, but there are players on this team that are like, man, we got to beat Doug Marrone. He actually left us. Guys that were here when he was here.
Maybe. You think? I don't know.
I mean, they're not thinking about it. That's the first thing on their mind, but it's something that, I mean, when you look at the reactions from when he left, guys like Jerry and those guys are very, very upset when he left, they would be, it would be like icing on the cake to actually go down and beat him.
Yeah. I wonder if those feelings of animosity towards Doug Marrone run stronger from some of the staff than they do from some of the players. You know what I mean? There are people
who dealt with him every
day. Yeah, he was difficult. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's any secret. He was difficult to work with at times. I got along with him fine, but he could be difficult to work with. I wonder if some of that comes from the staff is more so than some of the players. The player turnover is so heavy every year. I mean, I'll do a check at some point this week and see how many Bills who are here now were here when Marrone was here 3 years ago.
Might be five.
Yeah.
Tops.
So I think that would be run stronger among staffers than players themselves. Where were you? What did you think when the Bills finally ended the playoff drought? We'll take those phone calls from you at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Kyle Williams going to be with us here in a couple of minutes. It was a wild scene throughout Sunday evening, New Year's Eve, when the Bills finally, when they won their game and then clinched. Let's take a listen now. Time to go around the locker room presented by NOCO at work, at home, and on the go. Defensive tackle Kyle Williams finally making the playoffs.
It's just such a—it's a good feeling. It's a culmination of a ton of work by those guys and a lot of grit, and I'm so happy to have them as my teammates.
What's this say about what Sean was able to do in his first season? Come in here, kind of rebuild it all. And...
Well, I think if you look around, you know, we're basically 53 reflections of him. You know, never wavering, unflinching, and just going out there and grinding and working and just finding a way to get the job done.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, his teammate Kyle Williams' first playoff appearance.
I mean, obviously it's huge. I mean, he's been in this league, what, 12 years now and hasn't had an opportunity until now to get into the playoffs. I mean, obviously it's special because it gets you an opportunity to win a championship, and that's the ultimate goal for everybody. But knowing Kyle, I know he's not happy just getting there. He wants to make some noise, make a push, and then obviously we want to win a championship as a team.
Center Eric Wood, the playoffs mean a new season for the Bills.
This is a start for us. It's a fresh start for a new season. You know, everyone's 0-0 now. But it obviously feels good to get that one for Kyle, get that monkey off my back. You know, I had nightmares of never getting to the playoffs here and being tagged with a good portion of that drought. But, man, this is awesome for us. Our fan base, let's go Buffalo, chance drowning out the stadium. I mean, it doesn't get much better than today.
Defensive end Jerry Hughes on the locker room atmosphere waiting for the Bengals game.
It was electric just to see, especially on that third and long, once a lot of heads were down, I'm not going to lie. We didn't think Cincinnati was going to convert it. Then to see them not only convert it, but to score. Yeah. On fourth down, I mean, I'm sorry, but for them to convert it and score, I mean, that was huge. I mean, we went crazy. I'm pretty sure they heard us from inside of the stadium how loud we were. It was spectacular. Great team bonding moment just for us, and it's just great just to see everything work out in our favor.
Linebacker Preston Brown watching TV in the locker room to find out their playoff fate.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we were a college basketball team watching a selection show just waiting on us to get in. I mean, that's essentially what it was, and they made a great play. Andy Dalton throwing the ball down the field. Everybody jumped up and down, going crazy. I mean, it was a great feeling.
Guard Richie Incognito on the Bills making the postseason.
That's special. You know, we all should be remembered for it because we all came together before the season. You know, Coach McDermott was new, and, you know, we're losing guys left and right, you know, guys that we have been, you know, counting on. And no one knew where this thing was going, but Coach did such a good job of keeping our vision on the task at hand and the next opponent. And Coach just did such a great job of you know, guiding us through this, and you know, here we are, you know, 9-7 in the playoffs, and it feels great.
Around the locker room, presented by NOCO, at work, at home, and on the go. John Murphy, Donald Jones here at One Bills Drive. As we take a look back at the weekend that was, we'll get your thoughts on that and where you were. What did you think about when the Bills finally clinched? We're going to hear from Kyle Williams in a couple of minutes here live in studio on the set to talk about his thoughts about his amazing day. We also will kind of take a peek at what lies ahead, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Adam Schefter from ESPN just reporting out that LeSean McCoy is going to be a game-time decision with his ankle injury, which, you know, two things. That's exactly what that is exactly what Sean McDermott wants the Jaguars to think. And right. It might be a game-time decision,
right.
I'm not saying that's not true, but I think that puts McDermott and his coaching staff in the position they want to be in. They want to keep him guessing because he is the offense, let's face it.
Oh, he's definitely the offense. They need him. out there, the way he can catch the ball out of the backfield, the way he runs the ball. When he gets going, usually the offense gets going. So they need him. But, yeah, they're not going to say anything. Right. Even if they're if he's totally healthy right now, they're like, oh, he's good for Sunday. He's game time decision. We don't know.
So if he can't go, we'll talk about that as the week goes along. Who'd get the reps? I don't know, Tolbert, Marcus Murphy, maybe Kyle Williams. Kyle's coming up next in a couple of minutes here on the show. Hey, Bills fans, your voice counts this season. Don't forget to vote for the Bills Player of the Week, powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Buffalo Bills. Voting is open and continues for another day or so. We announce the results tomorrow. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more. The nominees this year for the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week: Kyle Williams, Jordan Poyer, Tyrod Taylor, and Stephen Hauschka. Again, you can vote at BlueRockEnergy.com/POTW or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page. Back with more in a moment with Kyle Williams, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
First and goal from the one. They give it to Kyle Williams. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown! Kyle Williams, touchdown! He lined up at the fullback spot and rumbled into the end zone. Kyle Williams scores a touchdown, and everybody falls flat on their back.
There it is, the call of the game, sponsored by Hilbert College. At Hilbert, the community, the feeling, and the values are different. See Hilbert College. See different. Go to hilbert.edu. See different. Kyle Williams, the man of the hour, in studio with us on the John Murphy Show with Donald Jones. I'm just glad I saw you in there and was able to identify during the play-by-play that was you.
It happened pretty fast,
it
right?
It did. You got out there in a hurry, right?
Yeah, I got out there in a hurry and did my part and celebrated and then ran off real fast.
So you did, though.
Just kind of in and out.
He did get up and run off fast.
Well, you know, we are on that time clock, but I think that's actually after that extra point. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really remember, so I said, I better get off real fast because I'm not part of the next play either way.
Let's start from the back and let's start from the end of it and work back a little bit. The celebration had to be choreographed. Don't tell me you
didn't. You know, it's crazy. Everybody that I've spoken with over the last 48 hours has asked me about that. Totally unplanned. We're jumping up and down, and you're like, what are we doing? We're like, and then it's just like, let's do a bomb. Let's just throw it up. And like, yeah, let's do it. And it was kind of all of us, and we're like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we did it, and it looked very planned, but honestly, it was totally, totally spontaneous and organic. It was awesome. We just had a great time with it.
Is that your first NFL touchdown?
First obviously. NFL touchdown.
College?
No, I didn't score in college either. Since high school is my
since
first
high school.
Since
so
high school,
did you ever like imagine a celebration or something you would do when you scored?
You know, all I was trying to do was not get a 15-yard penalty, and B, get fined. So, you know, that's – but luckily it happens in a year where they're allowing you to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, so because beforehand I would have had to celebrate because I would just had to eat whatever came my way with fines or – penalty, but you know, luckily we're in a year where you know they're a little bit more lenient on it, and we got to enjoy it, and we had a good time with it.
Not only your first, was that your first touch on offense in the NFL?
Yes, okay. Yes. Like I said, we've run some plays during games and in practice where maybe I'm a receiver, maybe I'm a blocker over the years, and I've gotten into the game, but really never touched the ball.
How much fun was it? What did you think?
It all happened so fast, really. You know, it's hey, Jumbo Kyle. I'm like, oh, here we go, you know, and literally on my mind, all I could think about was, well, A, I can't hear Tyrod's cadence, so I have to watch the ball for movement. And then I said, okay, well, don't screw it up because they put something in specifically for you, and you're the one that screws it up. You're not going to get another
never
chance.
You're never going to get another chance.
So, you know, just make sure we had a clean handoff and ball
security. I was just about to say the handoff was something you had to be thinking about.
Yeah, we practiced it once this week. It was clean. I've taken handoffs a long time ago, done it before. So, you know, I was pretty comfortable with it. And we saw something they were doing on goal line. We thought it would be a good play. It ends up working out. And, you know, it's not that hard to get the ball at about the two for me and just kind of fall. You know, and that's what I did, just kind of fell in.
Much more to that game than your touchdown, although the touchdown was pretty cool. But you guys did a pretty good job throughout most of the game shutting down Miami. Were you surprised they lifted Cutler after one series? Did you see that coming?
You know, that's talked about him playing a little bit, and you know, so we were prepared for him to play maybe the whole game, maybe it was a half, we weren't sure, we didn't know, And when he came in, we kind of had to shift gears on some things because of his scrambling and his mobility and some different things like that. But, you know, all in all, going down and getting a win was a good thing for us. And, you know, we let one run get out. That's really my fault. I over-pursued it. You know, he runs a draw into the line. I get off the block and try to go help, and he runs in the line and then bounces it all the way back and runs for, you know, 30 yards or whatever it was on the second or third series. So other than that, all in all, it's a good day.
Yeah, I saw you looking up at the scoreboard trying to watch the replay after that play happened. Like, man, I know I messed that up.
Yeah, no, that was my fault. I knew it too. But yeah, I hit the guy, and, he commits to the line. You know, while he's always caught point and no return. So you're watching the guy, and I'm like – and you know, I mean, played at the play a thousand times. Like, well, he's pointed no return, and I cross the guard, and he just kind of runs into a wall of defenders and just kind of winds it all the way back, which usually doesn't happen. But, you know, ran right through where, you know, I typically would be. So, yeah, it was I knew exactly what it was. But, like I said, all's well that ends well, and to get the win and to enjoy that day was awesome.
So the Bills win, Kyle. You win by six. I had the sensation up in the radio booth, like, now what? I don't know what to do with myself. It must have been even worse for you guys down in the locker room for, what, 10, 15 minutes after your game ended? Uncertain, right?
Well, luckily my family was there,
right?
And I went and got my two older sons.
You went down to the end zone.
I went down to the end zone to see them. And, you know, I didn't know – you know, typically when you go on away games, security's a little different. Things are a little bit tighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And luckily the sheriff there was like, hey, if you want to bring your two boys down, I'll let you bring them down. Cool. I'm like, great. So I brought my two older sons down, and we played on the field, and I had a couple of on-the-field interviews and did those, and they ran around a little bit. So I didn't have to watch the last 8 minutes of the game. I kind of walked in at, you know, a minute 20 left, kind of right in crunch time. So I was really only on pins and needles for a few minutes, where everybody else was in there quite a bit longer than I was.
You know, I know you guys are focused on your game, but then after your game is over and there's still another, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of the other game that you're watching, at what point do you actually know the score of the other game?
When we came in the locker room, you didn't see much of it during the game, you know, down in Miami on the scoreboards or anything like that. So I really had no idea what was going on until I came in the locker room and we had it on a TV in the locker room.
So the Bengals are looking at 4th and 12. At that point, in your mind, are you thinking, all right, we did our part, we've done the best we can here, and I know how this ends?
You know, you're just hoping against hope at that point. And, you know, I'm in there with my boys, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to be grateful in this situation. You know, we're either going to be celebrating a winning season or we're going to be celebrating the playoffs. And, you know, the celebration obviously wouldn't have been the same, and the feeling wouldn't have been the same if they hadn't converted and gotten that touchdown. But, you know, in that situation, I was just, you know, just trying to be grateful and soak it in with my boys and my teammates and enjoy it. And then obviously the way it worked out, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more.
You were emotional, clearly, and many of us were, but you were especially with your sons right there in the locker room with you.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, you go 12 years and you're after one thing, and, you know, you haven't been able to get there, or you haven't been able to win it. And now with the first opportunity to achieve that ultimate goal that you have, I mean, it's emotional. You know, I think about all the teammates I've had. I think about all my teammates I have now. I think about recovering from surgeries. There's just so many things that I'm thankful for, and I'm thankful that, you know, we're able to, you know, hang in and be here when it happened.
And you address the team after that. I think we have a little bit of that speech, Kyle Williams talking to the team.
Yeah, you know,
you're
going to play it.
Yeah, I think we're going to play it. you typically talk a lot after games, right?
Sometimes, you know, a lot of times coach will do it, and, you know, and then sometimes he kicks it to me and sometimes he doesn't. I mean, either way, most of my talking is done through the week and, you know, and before a game. But, you know, in that moment, you know, I just wanted to be short and sweet and let get back to and enjoying it and let them know that, you know, who they were and how we got here. And it's just been such a great run. You know, nobody gave us a chance. Nobody expected us to do much except for the guys in that locker room. And that just shows that's the most important thing.
Let's listen to it. Kyle Williams talking to the Bills after Cincinnati won their game and the Bills had clinched.
Hey, man. Not us, right? Not us.
Yeah, not us.
Let's tank it, man. Let's just be done with it. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? No.
That's who we are. That's who we love. These boys are going to enjoy it with their dads.
Yes. Yeah.
They knew what was coming. They wanted to come celebrate with us.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, man, Coach and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is a start.
Yes, sir.
This is not a finish.
Yes, sir.
This is a start.
Yes, sir.
All right? Let's stay on it. Let's stay on our standard every day, and let's go make some noise now. Let's go.
Let's go make a run.
No more. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3, Bills!
You know, it's good to hear you say this is a start and not a finish, because Murph and I were just talking about how they're probably – you look at the expectations and people were saying you need to tank the season, and now you made it into the season. There are still probably people who think, man, all right, they made it into the playoffs, they ended the drought. I'm good with that, even if they go and lose.
Know. Who thinks that? You think any – you know these fans. You think any fans right now are saying, good, I'm done, they made the playoffs?
You know, I don't know. Here's my thing. I try not to wrap my mind around what anybody else thinks.
Yeah.
Whether it's fans who – our fans are the best in the league, whether it's media, whether it's my mom or my dad, God love them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I try to stay about my business and keep our team focused on what we're doing. And a little bit what I shared there was when Coach and I talked about it. We had kind of talked about earlier of how to communicate to the team, like, not to carry the burden of – this playoff drought because a lot of these guys were 5-17 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't been here through all of that. This is a new team. It's a new opportunity. And just trying to figure out the best way mentally to approach it with the team, me from a leader standpoint, of how to keep pushing and not worrying about that. And he was asking about me. He goes, if anybody here kind of carries that, I would think it would maybe you. I said, be honest with you. I said, getting into the playoffs is not my goal. I don't get up in March and, you know, like I said earlier, recover from surgeries and do all these things so I can say, hey, you know what? We did it. I get to stay in Buffalo for 6 more days and go play 1 game, and then I get to go home. That's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goal is to be a champion. The goal is to be a world champion. And just so happens to be this is the first time I've really, truly had that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to relish it and give it my all, preparation and play-wise.
Now, this is the first time you get this opportunity. Even a guy like Eric Wood, there are a lot of young guys on this team. This is a different level now. You're in the playoffs. It's the intensity steps up a bit. It's one and you're done. So how do you keep those guys and make sure that this level isn't too big for them?
Well, I think we're gonna stay true to our standard and what we do. We're going to prepare the best way we can. We're going to prepare fast. We're going to demand a lot of each other and talk about details. And, you know, when the emotion of the game on Sunday comes along, these guys have done it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what the game is like. The field's still the same size. You know, we still play with 11 guys. The ball's still the same shape. You know, so, you know, there's more build up to it, as you know, like whether it's playoffs, whether it's talk about certain players, whether somebody gives somebody bulletin board material, all of that is build up until they kick the ball off and somebody
right.
gets hit, and then all of that's gone by the wayside. So we all know how to play football, and we'll be prepared.
That is to come, but I know Bills fans, many of them still relishing what went on Sunday night, and I'm sure you are too. I mean, the whole atmosphere, the plane ride home, the reception at the Buffalo Airport. You've got another game to play, but these are historic and kind of milestone moments for you, I would think, in the franchise right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not making light of that. I mean, we obviously enjoyed it on the plane together, and not just players. The great thing is, I mean, it was a whole organization. I mean, we're enjoying it, and then you get back and you see these guys and these fans who I've talked about, you know, at length, who you can't say enough about. It was awesome. I was scared I was going to hit somebody going through that tunnel. You know, but it was just great. But at the same time, I understand, and I think our football team understands why we've gotten here. And, you know, Coach talks about the process, and everybody wants to make jokes about it, you know, about, you know, hashtag the process and air quote it and all that. But it's a reality. The reality is our preparation has given us an opportunity to be in the postseason and get here. And I would think, knowing our football team and knowing our men, that their preparation is going to be on point. The energy and the intensity this week is going to be high.
Congratulations. I know you've done a ton of interviews the last couple of days. Thanks for making time for us.
You got it. Anytime.
It. Kyle Williams, Bills captain, who scored a touchdown in that clinching win on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Our thanks to Kyle Williams, who's done a ton of interviews. I think I've heard him on 3 or 4 interviews nationally and locally over the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
And good for him. He earned that. He deserved that. And I think he'll keep it in perspective, too, don't you?
Yeah, Kyle is a veteran. He knows how to keep it in perspective. Yeah, I'm excited that we won. I'm excited that we ended the drought. I'm excited that we're in the playoffs for the first time in my career. But that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to take this thing all the way and win the entire thing. So there's still a lot of football left to be played, a lot of practice. They still have to trust their process, as he was talking about, and get back to it. As you see guys in here working out today, as we see during the season, Tuesdays, guys are in working out and all of that stuff. It's the same thing today.
I want to know from you, where were you? What did you think when the Bills finally clinched their playoff spot? That's the topic we're dealing with on the radio show here today. Call from Sheldon in Kenmore. Sheldon, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I just want to say I was watching it at home, and I was watching the game after we won the game against Miami, and I practically went into shock when he threw that touchdown pass. But I knew the Bills were going to go 9-7 all season. I was saying it. The only problem was I didn't feel that was good enough to make a wild card selection, and they did it. I to this day, I do not believe that they're in the playoffs, but I'm glad as hell. And if Kyle's still there, tell him, go for it, babe. Don't quit now.
Yeah, okay.
Kyle left us, but
he left. But he'll be around the building. We'll see him. I don't think anybody is – to your point about are Bills fans satisfied, maybe that's a good question to come up on the show, you know, as the week goes along. But it's right there for them now, Donald. Look, are they going to be in the Super Bowl? I don't know. I mean, obviously the odds makers will say not likely, and I can accept that. But, you know, when you're at this point even in the wild card round, you know, strange things happen. The ball bounces funny. People get hurt. People play poorly. You know, you've got 20 teams out there sitting on the sidelines this weekend thinking, oh, I wish that was us.
Oh, yeah. You know? There's a lot of teams that are going to be sitting and watching. The Bills have been doing that for the last 17 years. So you always talk about it's just getting to the tournament. That's all you want to do, get to the tournament. Now everybody is 0-0. The records that you had during the season, none of that stuff matters. You know, you have a certain teams that are going to play one more game than the rest of the teams, but ultimately you can win every game. It's any given Saturday or Sunday now. But in terms of this team, anything can happen on Sunday. They can win this game and then go out to New England and beat them. I mean, you never know truly what's going to happen in the playoffs. You have teams that end up going the entire way that nobody thought would, and you have teams that have the best records throughout the course of the season and get a first-round bye and lose their first game in the playoffs. So you never know what's going
to
happen.
You know, quick story. We got to get to a break. We got Trey Wingo coming up. But during this 17-season playoff drought, when my predecessor, the late Van Miller, was alive, we would wrap up a Bills season, and then the very next weekend, Saturday, would be the wild card game. And so Van passed away a couple of years ago, but we're talking 10 years or so from the Bills' last playoff appearance, and I would get the call every Saturday, wild card Saturday, from Van, late in the afternoon when the first game began. And it would be Van basically consoling me, saying, this should have been us. You know, we're better than this team or that team, or how are they in and we're not. I would hear the tinkle of ice cubes in a glass in the phone line as Van enjoyed his favorite beverage and just kind of, you know, commiserate about how are we here again on the outside looking in. That will change, obviously, this weekend. And I'm looking forward to that, having a game to do on Sunday and Wild Card Weekend. All right, a break here. And then when we come back, Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, co-host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. We'll get the national perspective on what's going on here in Buffalo and what to look ahead at the playoffs with Trey Wingo from ESPN. That's when we come back. John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Hey, from One Bills Drive, where it is Players Day off this Tuesday. The wild card playoff game coming up on Sunday. Many Bills players in for treatment and some other meetings as the off day continues. Bills are going to have to wait until the week moves along before they know for certain whether LeSean McCoy can play. He left last Sunday's game in Miami in the first half with an ankle injury. Adam Schefter of ESPN reports that it's going to be a game-time decision as to whether McCoy will be ready to go up against the Jaguars on Sunday in Jacksonville. Jags coach Doug Marrone says he does not want to talk about his short stint with the Bills and his abrupt departure before this week. He says it's not only a waste of time, but a disservice to his coaches and players. Marrone said yesterday, what's past is past. He spent two seasons head coach in Buffalo, led the Bills to a 9-7 record, and then opted out of his contract. So Doug Marrone says he's not talking about it. Houston Texans have obtained permission from the Bills to talk with Buffalo's Brian Gain, vice president of player personnel, for their vacancy in the general manager's office. Gain hired away from the Texans by Brandon Bean this offseason. He served as Rick Smith's right-hand man in three seasons in Houston. He's got some history there. The Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation has come up with approximately $100,000 in donations from Bills fans. According to Andy Dalton, the Bengals quarterback, his touchdown throw to Tyler Boyd Sunday night not only sealed a win against the Ravens, but secured the Bills' first playoff berth since 1999. And so Bills fans have responded with donations to his foundation. Buffalo Sabres set out for a three-game road trip tomorrow. It starts Thursday night in Minnesota. The Sabres in the middle of a seven-game stretch of games away from home. Sabres and Rangers took the ice in the outdoor matchup last night, the 10th annual Winter Classic. New York came out on top 3-2 in overtime. College football for the second time in seven seasons. Two teams from the Southeastern Conference will go head-to-head for a national championship. Number 2 Georgia and number 4 Alabama will meet next Monday in the college football playoff national championship. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, as we continue on with Hour 2, we'll have Steve Tasker in studio with us in Hour 3. Donald will have his nuts and bolts segment coming up at the bottom of this hour. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, our Tuesday guest, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, and the ESPN app. Happy to have Trey Wingo on the line with us. Trey, Happy New Year. It's a new year in Buffalo, as you might imagine.
It's a new year, Murph, and a new era. The 17-year anvil, as Russ Brandon talked about it, is over and gone. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Donald and I did our best.
We did.
We didn't have much to do with it. We were debating earlier today, myself and some of the producers, about how much of a national story this is. As you can imagine, people here are over the moon about the Bills in the playoffs and the way it went down and the response of players and fans and to the news. But how is that playing nationally? What's your take on that?
I think it's playing really well. I mean, look, we talked about it a lot on both NFL Live and the radio show with Golic and myself this week because, it's one of those silly things that happens all the time, but watching people watch something happen that hasn't happened in a long time, those videos are just amazing. And that video that was taken at the concourse at Hard Rock Stadium of Bills fans who had walked inside to see what was going on at the end of the Bengals-Ravens game and the reaction to the touchdown with 49 seconds left on fourth. I mean, come on, 49 seconds left on a 4th-and-12 on the road? It doesn't get any more dramatic than that. And, to see them go nuts and then see the video of the Bills fans inside the locker room watching it, I mean, it's great. And I think a lot of people are really happy for a city like Buffalo that has put up with a lot of garbage for a long time to finally get a chance to get back in there and be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Hey, Trey, what about the fact that, I mean, before that 4th-and-12, Andy Dalton actually threw a couple of passes that made you go, oof, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull this one out. And then they get the 4th-and-12, and it's like, all right, what's going to happen here? And then he throws a dime, and now Bills fans have donated like over $100,000 to his foundation. And then he's like the most popular person in Buffalo right now.
Look, the whole thing is just surreal. I mean, I think 2 third downs on that drive were kept alive by PIs, and then an interception by Weddle was wiped out by a PI. and then to throw that one on 4th-and-12, it was amazing. And I got to say, the donation thing is just fantastic. First of all, the Bills did a great job with the Twitter post that they sent to the Bengals, sending them wings, and it sort of took off from there. And to see the Bills fans do that, because fans sometimes get, not just in Buffalo, but everywhere, get a bad rap for being these obnoxious, over the top, you hate everybody that's not your team, jerks. And to see them, the outpouring of thanks in a positive way for what they believe Andy Dalton helped contribute to their team going to the playoffs is just amazing. I mean, think about this. Over $100,000 worth of donations to his foundation. That's awesome. And that's, people always want to take the crap in sports and sort of talk about how this is bad. What we're seeing out of what's happened in Buffalo with the reactions, not only of the joy of the players and the fans, but how the fans have turned this into a positive thing for Andy Dalton's foundation is just remarkable.
Trey Wingo, our guest, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, co-host of Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio. How much of the perception is there nationally, Trey, that you know, the Bills backed in or lucked into the playoffs? Is anybody saying that or thinking that?
No, because they had they took care of their business and other people didn't. I mean, it's not the Bills' fault that the Ravens couldn't win a freaking home game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Ravens had a – now, again, I hate these numbers because they always seem to go the other way and they never work out. But according to our football power index, whatever that is, the Ravens entered Sunday with a 97% chance of making the playoffs. And another thing had the Bills at like 5.7. Well, guess what happened? The Bills are in and the Ravens aren't. You took care of business. Although I will say to Buffalo, let's work on onside recovery when playing Miami.
Yeah.
Okay? Two games, two chances, and you messed it up both times. That's a little concerning. But you did what you had to do, you know, and then somebody else didn't take care of their business. That is the way it works. It is not – look, two years ago, the Patriots were sitting with home field advantage through the AFC, and they lost their last two games of the year. They lost to the Jets. And they lost to the Patriots. And lo and behold, what happened? Because of those two losses, the Broncos won their final game, and they had home field advantage. And that turned out to be, in my opinion, the difference between the Patriots and the Broncos going to the Super Bowl, and the Broncos went on to win Super Bowl 50. So you only can control what you can control. What everything else or what anybody else does, that's not your concern. They handled their business, and somebody else didn't. They didn't back in. They did what they had to do.
You know, Trey, I want to ask you about this. I saw this morning, and these numbers really don't mean anything as you talk about numbers, but especially power rankings. Power rankings don't mean anything. Now the only thing that matters is teams that are actually in the playoffs and still going. But when you look at the ESPN power rankings, you have the Bills behind two teams that didn't actually make it into the playoffs. So what does that say about the national perception of this team as we talk about the Bills actually backing into the playoffs?
Well, let me tell you, I am not a member of the Power Rankings Committee, and they get mad at me because every week the Power Rankings come out on NFL Live, and we're like, how is that possible? Where does this make sense? So I'm with you. I'm sorry. If you're in the playoffs, guess what? You should be in the top 12. That's just the way it is because you know, Bill Parcells has a famous saying, you are what your record says you are. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to admit it or not or whether you like it or not is irrelevant. You are what your record says you are. And if they're one of the 12 teams that made – I mean, Herm Edwards once said – When he got into the playoffs as a head coach of the Jets, he held up the invitation. Said, "I got the letter. Says we're going." Because people thought there's no chance they could win. It's like, well, you know, we're going to go and we're going to go play. So you got in. That's all that matters.
You think they actually send out a letter, Trey?
Well, he held up a piece of paper.
A blank piece of paper.
Herm's pretty good at that stuff.
Like you got to be invited.
And the best part for Bills fans now, it's the Doug Marrone Bowl. I mean, how great is that? You get a chance to whoop up on the guy that left you guys.
Yeah, well, that's where I wanted to take it next year, Trey, with you. Tell us, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know you can handle this. Give us two things that you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars that are pertinent in this game this week.
Well, their defense is so legitimate. I mean, it's really good. But the other thing is that, you know, there was a three-game stretch where Blake Bortles didn't play like Blake Bortles. It was the first time in his career, weeks 13, 14, and 15, that he had three straight games, multiple touchdowns, no interceptions. And, you know, when he's playing like that, that team with that running game and that defense is going to be really good. Well, then what happened the last 2 weeks? I mean, he threw for 300-something yards in the loss to San Francisco, but I think he also threw three interceptions in that game. He had a couple interceptions last week. Look, if Blake Bortles can be turnover-free, they're a very difficult team to beat. But if Blake Bortles is going to be what he's been for most of his career – and that's give you some freebies, they are a very beatable team. You know, we always talk about what Bill Belichick says is not, don't lose games. I mean, give yourself a chance to win by not losing. And I think that if the Jaguars can avoid giving the game away, they have a very good chance to win. But if Blake Bortles is going to play like that, Buffalo has every right to go in there and win, hopefully if we can get Shady back on the field.
That'll be the big question, isn't it? Because – you know, the Bills, as we've talked about them all year with you and everybody, Trey, the Bills are a pretty flawed team. They have some gigantic flaws, including the fact that they don't do much on offense except run the ball well.
Yeah, and that's going to be a concern. Maybe we'll just give Kyle Williams more carries. Maybe that's the answer with Shady. Yeah, we'll just get the big – nothing's better than a fat guy touchdown. It was great. We had one last night in the semifinal game between Alabama and Clemson, but Kyle Williams was absolutely amazing, and the celebration was well-timed by everybody in Buffalo.
Trey Wingo on the line with us, host of ESPN's NFL Live, co-host of Golic and Wingo. Trey, let's take a look around what's left in the NFL with the other wildcard games. Tennessee and Kansas City, Chiefs seem to have pulled themselves together. Do the Titans have much of a chance there on Saturday afternoon?
No, if Kansas City can play well defensively, I'm not sure they do. I mean, Marcus Mariota has really struggled this year. And it's interesting, both he and Jameis really have. I mean, we've seen the ascendancy of those two 2016 quarterbacks taken, one to Goff and Wentz, and it's been sort of the opposite for Winston and Mariota. They've both taken a step back, and, you know, the Titans are built one way, you know, and they're going to, in many ways, they're kind of like Buffalo. They're going to run the ball, and hopefully play good defense and win with a limited passing game. Tennessee is a team that just seems out of sync right now. Kansas City has gotten it back together on offense and defense, and they had a couple of big injuries in that game, including Deontay Thomas, who's out for the playoffs with that broken leg, which is a tough one for them. But I think that they're going to be okay, and I like Kansas City in that matchup.
You know, as you talk about Kansas City, and this has nothing to do with the playoffs, but Pat Mahomes, I guess, looked pretty good in that game. So is Alex Smith safe in Kansas City?
Yeah, I think that this might be the end of it, because his contract is very friendly to the team in terms of the dead money that they owe him after 2017. And you know, he alluded to it when they moved up to draft Pat Mahomes before the season began. He was like, yeah, you know, I my time here is probably short. And I thought Pat played pretty well in that game against Denver, in Denver. This is going to be the most interesting quarterback market when the league year begins that I can ever remember. Because you're talking about guys like Alex Smith, Eli Manning, all kinds of these quarterbacks that might be available.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, absolutely. And you know, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have a contract. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have a contract. Case Keenum doesn't have a contract after this year. Sam Bradford doesn't have a contract after this year. I mean, every quarterback in Minnesota doesn't have a contract this year. So, I mean, there's going to be a glut of really good veteran quarterbacks. Plus, we could have four, maybe five quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft. So this is going to be the most interesting offseason for quarterback movement that we've ever seen in free agency.
NFC wild card Saturday night. Does the Falcons' recent playoff experience, how much does that help them against a relatively inexperienced Rams team, and Rams with all that firepower? How do you see that game, Trey?
Well, you know, for all the experience, the Falcons simply have not clicked offensively, I mean, over the last few weeks. You know, it's been their defense and their running game that has really held them to wins and gotten them into the postseason. So, you know, we have all the weapons. You have Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman and obviously Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu, but that offense has stuttered and it is really sputtered. Honestly, I give the Rams a better than a 50-50 chance to go in there and take care of business. Hmm. This much I do know, if the Falcons somehow score 20, they're going to win. They're 10-0 this year when they score 20 or more. They're 0-6 when they don't get the 20, and that's sort of the one consistent that's been on their season. So look for that to be the magic number one way or the other for them.
And the other NFC game, Trey, that, you know, I saw the Saints come in here on November 12th and just absolutely steamroll the Buffalo Bills home against Carolina. I know Carolina's playing better, but I'll tell you the truth. I think the Saints are on the way to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of teams that should feel pretty confident. The Eagles were one of them until, I mean, right. The Eagles, let's be honest, guys, the Eagles, I mean, they are a number one seed that's going to be the least confident number one seed of any team in recent memory, obviously because of the loss of Carson Wentz. But I think the Vikings as a number two seed feel like a number one seed to me. They really do. And then you have the Rams, who are interesting, but do they have enough seasoning to go on the road, because that's what they're going to have to do as the four seed. But you're right. Then you have New Orleans, which is built completely differently than the Saints have won over the years. I mean, Drew Brees had, what, 23 touchdown passes this year? And you mentioned that game against the Bills where they ran for almost 300. That was the first time in 25 games in the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era where they put up 40-plus points, and he didn't have a touchdown pass. So it is all about Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram in that defense. But there are three teams, I think, that should feel really good about their chances in the NFC. And you know, I can't make it a really discerning argument against any one of them.
You know, Trey, I was just about to say that Murph and I were talking about the NFC playoffs last week, Murph? We were talking about this? No, not last week, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about it, and when you look at the brackets over there, it's like, man, there's a lot of pretty good teams that have had good seasons all year, played well all year.
It is, and it's so different from the AFC. And, you know, look, I'm hoping the Bills can upset the apple cart, but it sure feels like it's a Patriots-Steelers rematch at Foxborough in some way, shape, or form. But the NFC is really – I mean, you could make a compelling argument that the Rams can put up points on anybody, and with the interior pressure they can get from Brockers and Aaron Donald, they can stop anybody. And then you could – we just talked about the Saints. We obviously can talk about the Vikings, who really feel like a number one, even though they're the number two seed. And, you know, quite frankly, it's possible for Atlanta to pull it all together because we've seen them do it before. Carolina, I'm not so sure about because Cam has been very inconsistent this year in terms of his quarterback play and making plays with his arm as opposed to his legs. He was all over the place in that loss in Atlanta on week 17. So I don't have a lot of confidence there. But there are three or four teams that you feel in the NFC that, yeah, I could see how that might work out for them.
Hey, Trey, before we let you go, it is, you know, coaching season now and coaching change season now. The one that intrigues me the most, probably everybody feels this way, is Oakland. To jettison the one coach and just
Jack
for
Del Rio.
Yeah, thank you, and to bring in John Gruden, I don't know. It seems like kind of a reach for the Oakland Raiders in my mind.
Well, look, he hasn't coached in a long time, and he still hasn't decided officially what's going to happen, but we'll have him on the show tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll dance around it. We'll ask the question. He's gonna do the wild card game for us. I can promise you that. But you know, when you talk that kind of money, and you talk potentially ownership in the team, which by the way, I don't think will ever happen, is that every owner would have to agree to that, and then every owner would have to their coach would look to them. I mean, if John Gruden's going to get ownership in the Raiders, how much is Bill Belichick going to say to Robert Kraft? 50-50, right? We're good, right?
Yeah.
50-50 split on ownership.
Yeah.
So I think that one's going to be a tough sell through the finance committee of NFL owners. But, look, they need to make a splash. And they need to when this move to Las Vegas comes, they need to bring in a bright new shiny toy, for lack of a better term. And maybe it might be a reach, but, you know, John's a name. He's won a Super Bowl. And obviously he's very well thought of not only in Tampa but also with the Raiders because that's where he was before he went to Tampa Bay. All of these things can potentially be reaches. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that, to seeing what he says, Gruden says, on your show tomorrow, right, with Mike Golic, right?
You got it, brother.
Okay. Thank you, Trey. Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us.
Happy New Year to you guys. And let's go, Bills Mafia. Come on.
Trey Wingo, co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and the ESPN app, the host of ESPN's NFL Live. You know, Trey's been with us since the season began. I'm not going to say he's a Bills fan. But Donald, I think he has a deep appreciation of what it's like up here.
You know, it's crazy because a lot of the people, unless they work for another team, a lot of these national reporters, it's like they've been hoping for a long time for this team to actually make it to the playoffs. And you can hear their excitement, like, man, they actually did it, just like the people here in Western New York. It's like they become Bills fans, especially. I think we add to that, though, because we have him on the show so much.
Yeah, he's great. He's one of my favorites to have on the show.
He was talking about John Gruden, and I tweeted out about this last night. These coaches that are coming out of the booth or these coaches that they recycle and all of this stuff, John Gruden hasn't decided if he wants to coach or not. That should tell you something right there. I mean, there are a lot of coaches that are hoping for an opportunity like Oakland, who was actually in the playoffs last year, looking like one of the strongest teams in the league. They didn't play that way this year, but a very talented team, young, talented team with a young, talented quarterback. And the fact that he hasn't said, you know what, I do want to come out of the booth and coach that team, that team, get them back to the Super Bowl. He hasn't said it yet, let you know that he's not sure if he wants to coach or not. You know, so the fact that they're so – it's just that they're reaching for John Gruden. It's like, give somebody else an opportunity.
You know, I interpret that as Gruden saying, I'm going to hold you up for that ownership stake that that Trey Wingo just talked about. I mean, that is almost unprecedented. But he can probably do it. You know, he can probably do that. Hold him. I think it's negotiations.
Yeah.
The reports are, over the weekend, the reports were that he was already calling people for his staff.
Yeah.
I think he's probably going to wind up there. But I do think it's a reach. And I watched the Raiders. I saw how they played. I saw the Bills beat him. I know it was a terribly disappointing year. But I think they had a pretty decent thing going on there. I really do. And I think, yeah, you take a step back maybe this year. But I don't know that you can pin that on the coach.
Right.
I think any coach, and you're right about this, that is maybe the most attractive job that's going to be open or is open now because of the quarterback.
Because of the quarterback.
Derek Carr is so talented.
Because he's talented. Now, they all played inconsistent this year. But you look at the team last year. I mean, everybody was saying the Raiders are probably the only team in AFC that can take on the Patriots. And then he gets hurt, and they don't play well in the playoffs. They lose. this year they don't play that well and you're firing your coach. I just don't understand that.
I don't get it. It's a splash move, and that's the part that I neglected.
And that's
the Vegas part.
Yes.
The Vegas part.
The Vegas part.
Yeah.
It's
awful. All right, we'll break. Isn't it nice we can sit back and criticize other coaching moves yeah. this time of year? Usually we're right in the middle of the maelstrom.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. Donald's got nuts and bolts, his thoughts on a couple of plays from the Bills game and on the big touchdown play for the Bengals. That's coming up. And we'll look back at some of the play calls from the Bills and the Miami Dolphins with Game Rewind. All of that coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Our thanks again to Trey Wingo for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. He had some interesting takes on the Bills and the rest of the playoff games. He sounds like a big Minnesota fan. He might like them more than I do. Oof, what do you think?
That is a good team.
Is it? Okay, I haven't seen enough of them this year.
Case Keenum is playing. He's playing out of his mind this year, really. I don't think I've ever seen him play that way. But that defense out there is the real strong part of that team. I remember playing them here in the preseason. And it's preseason, but I remember when their starters were on the field looking at that team saying, man, this is a good team. And now the fact that they've been able to do what they've done with Case Keenum as the quarterback without their high draft pick running back. You know, they brought in Latavius Murray, and he's done a good job for them this year. I think that team is dangerous. And the fact that, what are they, number two seed?
Yeah,
number two seed out there. So they'll have a home playoff game. And I think they, in their minds, they want to be the first team to be able to play a Super Bowl at home. That would be great, a great story for them. So
sure it would.
They're probably aiming for that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playoffs all week long. We're going to talk about your thoughts on where were you when the Bills clinched on Sunday and what did you think. We'll get to more phone calls in a couple of minutes. We do want to relive the moment, though, of the Bills' victory and their win in Miami, the 4:25 kickoff in Miami on Sunday. Time now for Game Rewind, presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills.
Snap, Tyrod. Play action. Now lops it into the end zone. Got a man wide open. O'Leary's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. 26 yards. Tyrod Taylor to Nick O'Leary. The Bills are on the board. First and goal from the one. They give it to Kyle Williams. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Kyle Williams. Touchdown. He lined up at the fullback spot and rumbled into the end zone. Kyle Williams scores a touchdown. And everybody falls flat on their back.
The snap to Fields. Looks down the middle, plants his foot, fires a rocket downfield. It is intercepted, picked off by Jordan Poyer at the 28-yard line. That should do it here.
Another try, and the Bengals are. It is 27-24. The Ravens lead the Bengals with a minute 53 left to play, and the Bengals have the ball at their own 43-yard line. I feel like sticking around here doing play-by-play of that game now, but I'll let my buddy Dan Horton in Cincinnati handle that one.
Dalton catches the football. He's back to throw. Inches up in the pocket. Throws.
Yeah.
Caught by Boyd.
Get in.
To the 15.
Get in.
The 10.
Yeah.
The 5. Touchdown. Tyler Boyd.
Man.
On 4th and 12.
Man.
It's a 49-yard touchdown.
Ooh, baby.
And the Bengals lead with 44 seconds to go. Silence in Baltimore. Panamanium in Buffalo.
Oh, what a moment. What couple of moments that was. Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. At the end there, the voice of Dan Horde, the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, and apparently some fan snuck into his booth and grabbed a microphone
while they must have.
The play.
Yeah!
I mean, is there is there an unwritten rule of
Oh, I'll write it down if you have to. You don't trample all over the play-by-play. That was Dave Lapham, who's a good guy, and obviously got caught up in the moment as he stepped all over Dan Horde. Dan Horde's a Jamestown native and a Syracuse grad and a great guy, and I actually traded a couple of messages with him on Sunday night. You know, I heard from a lot of play-by-play guys around the league, Donald.
Did you?
Who root, you know, are happy for us, happy for, you know, the whole organization. Bob Socci from New England got a nice congratulatory text from him. Andrew Catalan from CBS. Just several guys, you know. It was kind of cool. But Horde is a great play-by-play guy, and his partner stepped all over him there.
He did. Yeah! Woo!
It was unbelievable. A couple of great moments there. That is our game rewind of the events of Sunday. We're still basking in that. And we want to take a kind of a deeper dive into it now with Donald utilizing his expertise. Time now for Nuts and Bolts with Donald Jones, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. a look at the role that Bills tight ends played in their victory against the Dolphins, especially early on in that game on Sunday, Donald.
Yeah, I mean, the tight ends really all year, and I've been a big proponent of getting Charles Clay involved since I got here last year. They're really starting to do that, but at the expense of actually throwing to wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know, and you want them to throw to wide receivers more, but they are using their tight ends. They're using them effectively. Charles Clay, Nick O'Leary in that game, over 60 yards in the first quarter, 66 yards and a touchdown in the first quarter. That was good. It's good to see him actually. And people, you remember back to last year, everybody was talking about he doesn't throw the ball over the middle. Well, now he's only throwing it over the middle.
Nobody says that outside. Anymore, by the way.
I know.
Nobody says that.
You can't say it now because he's throwing it to his tight ends a lot.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about when you look at the numbers, Clay, LeSean McCoy winds up the regular season as Buffalo's leading receiver with 59 mm-hmm. catches. Mm-hmm. Charles Clay right behind him at 49, which is a little bit lower than his per-season average over the last few years. But after that, and you mentioned the lack of wide receivers, Deontay Thompson had 27 catches for the Bills this year. Zay Jones had 27. Calvin Benjamin has a total of 16 catches for the Bills. He had some in Carolina. The numbers are there. I haven't seen this week's end of regular season numbers, but the Bills all season long have had like the lowest targets for any of their wide receivers. They throw at the tight ends, and they started that game against the Dolphins throwing to Charles Clay. They found him a lot open in that game against the Dolphins on Sunday.
They did. They found him a lot open. He had a couple of big receptions for a tight end, I guess. You know, a couple of them, one of 15 yards, one of 17 yards. I mean, he's been big for this team all year, and they've been using him in a lot of different ways. They motion him. They actually line him up in bunch. They'll line him up by himself, run overs, unders, all types of things. The big thing is the fact that Tyrod Taylor has been getting him the ball, and the fact that they've been using Charles Clay a little bit differently this year, not just stop routes and things like that. Tyrod Taylor has been getting him the ball so that he can actually run with the ball, putting it accurately where it's supposed to be so that Charles Clay can actually run. And he's been picking up bigger yards after catch, yak yards. And that's what you want to see out of your receivers. The fact that Charles Clay has been able to get that done this year is a big thing for this team.
What do you think? Charles Clay's game has not changed that much over the couple of years he's been here in Buffalo. So he has something to offer. He's always had something to offer. And as you said, it's been a passing offense that's focused on the backs and tight ends all season long. What do you think happened to Tyrod Taylor to be able to find him, and in particular in this game against the Dolphins?
You know, I remember going back to the preseason and Chris Brown coming on and him saying they're going to get it to the tight ends a lot more. And we talking about it after watching practices, seeing them throwing to the tight ends. I don't know what it has been, maybe just the fact that last year they were so inconsistent in terms of being on the field, the wide receiver position. Charles Clay, he had his injury early in the season, but for the most part, he's been on the field. And so Tyrod Taylor, I think, is comfortable with him. And going into that game, I don't remember what he had in the first game against the Dolphins, but I think they saw something in a matchup there where they felt like we need to get it to Charles Clay and Nick O'Leary. And,
yeah.
they used it the right way, and Tyrod Taylor really executed it.
The first drive ends with the 26-yard touchdown pass from Tyrod Taylor to Nick O'Leary. He was wide open. What did you see there? How did he get so open?
It was a great play design by Coach Rick Dennison, and they had a bunch of receivers coming to the left. They actually play action. Tyrod Taylor rolled out to his left. So they had a lot of action coming to the left. They had three receivers actually look like they were coming to the left. Nick O'Leary ran a corner flag type of route. So he actually took off the line of scrimmage. He was running at the safety, and he faked like he was going to run the corner. And then he took off to the opposite pylon. And with all of that action coming one way and for him to take off the other way, the safety was confused. And I'm sure Tyrod Taylor did a good job with his eyes of looking the safety off. And once he got the safety to turn around, it was too late. He couldn't recover.
The safety was Rashad Jones, who's a Pro Bowl safety. Mm-hmm, and there was not just receivers that way, but Tyrod's bootleg action to defensive right, his left, that influenced the safety, I think, to go to his right.
It's crazy because they had so much action coming to the left, including Tyrod Taylor, and his eyes, I'm sure, went to the left. And that safety, his natural reaction, when you see everything coming this way, the receivers, because the offensive line and the running backs all went right, but the receivers all came left. until Nick O'Leary took off to the right as well. Yeah. But he didn't take off to the right until he actually – he ran a corner route to the left as well. And then he broke off and went to the right, and he was wide open at that point.
I don't know if it's because Tyrod was rolling left, but there was a lot of air underneath that pass. Wasn't there a little bit more than I was comfortable? I saw it coming right at us, by the way, in the booth, and I'm like, okay, he's wide open. Get their ball. It took a
Where's
while.
Your booth? In
oh,
Miami.
It was terrible. Don't get me
Is
started.
Is it in the end zone? I mean, what?
Yeah.
Really?
It was terrible. I vowed Sunday I'm not going to complain about it. But I'll complain about it.
I mean, for you to say it's coming right at you. But, yeah, the ball, he's thrown a lot of passes like that this year, though, where he'll lob them up, especially those deep overs, the under routes sometimes. I forget what game it was, the one he threw to Charles Clay where it was like, wow, he just threw a punt to Charles Clay, and it just so happened to land in his hands. But I don't know what it is about Tyrod Taylor and why he's throwing it that way. It's worked out for him this year. He hasn't thrown an interception. And guys have been wide open, so he can do it that way. But, I mean, it's a little too close for comfort.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, one more play on Donald's Nuts and Bolts' breakdown. And this was outside of the Bills game, the game in Baltimore, the Bengals and the Ravens, 4th-and-12 at the 49-yard line. And Tyler Boyd wide open in the middle of that Baltimore defense. What did you see there, Donald?
The biggest thing I saw, when you look at the defense was a and first of all, before we even look at that defense, the plays before it, talked about to Trey Wingo, I'm like, man, Andy Dalton is terrible. Yeah. I remember saying it, and I remember people tweeting it. Andy Dalton sucks right now.
I'm in the booth in the radio watching on TV in Miami saying to the guys with us, come on, Andy Dalton, come on, be a quarterback for a change. And he was unbelievable.
But it was like he threw an interception and got called back. And there was some penalties on that drive. And it was like, dude, can you just be Andy Dalton? Be the quarterback that they drafted, you know, that they were expecting when they drafted you. And he wasn't until that last throw. And it was a Tampa 2 defense. And in a Tampa 2 defense, everybody, even the middle linebacker, drops out. So you have the two safeties go wide. You have the middle linebacker drop deep. You'll have the outside linebackers drop out and get wide as well. And so you're not really supposed to be able to drop that ball where he dropped it, but it was a perfect dime to Boyd, the wide receiver, right over top the linebacker. The linebacker jumped. He couldn't get there. The safety,
Mosley.
He was
– Mosley, he's been playing well.
Right. He couldn't make that.
Looks
and
like
the
he
safety,
didn't take a deep enough drop or something.
That's exactly what happened. He didn't take a deep enough drop. The safety, I mean, he was where he was supposed to be, but it was just a perfect pass. And then the fact that Boyd, nobody made the tackle, was just amazing as well. For him to be able to make that catch, turn up, and take it into the end zone, it was just a good play. But the plays before it would not have given you the confidence in Andy Dalton that he'd be able to make that throw. Just imagine if he didn't make that throw – I mean, people would be trashing him right now instead of – instead now they're donated over $100,000 to him.
Unbelievable. He's got Andy Dalton has some thoughts on that, and we're going to show you what he had to say about that when we return after the break. But that's Donald's Nuts and Bolts from Donald Jones, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. We'll hear from Andy Dalton. We'll hear from you when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
More of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
2nd-and-9 at the Buffalo 48-yard line. The snap to Fields. Looks down the middle. Plants his foot. Fires a rocket downfield. It is intercepted. Picked off by Jordan Poyer at the 28-yard line. That should do it here.
Jordan Poyer with the game-clinching interception. The Advanced Alarm defensive play of the game Sunday. The Advanced Alarm providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. 5 interceptions this season for Poyer, 5 for Micah Hyde. No other safety tandem in the league has that many.
Those two dudes are, you know, I just got to go back to, I called this early in the season. I'm going to say it.
Oh, you did.
Yes, I did. I called it when they first signed them both. And then when we got into the spring, no, but they, those two guys, the way that they've been, and the corners, the way that those four have been able to come in totally new faces and just gel together is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. All of those guys playing well. E.J. Gaines, when he's in the game, it shows in terms of the record.
Yeah, 8-3 now.
When he's in the game, he had a couple of – and I got to talk to him this week. He had a couple of chances at some interceptions that he dropped.
You going to help him with that, are you?
Am I going to help him? No, I'm just going to talk trash to him.
Okay.
You know, it's all good. Just a little.
You're going to make sure that he knows that he drops him.
Always.
Okay.
Always. I do it with
good.
All DBs.
Okay.
All DBs.
Good.
I got to let them know that they play DB for a reason and not wide receiver.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Bring along a camera crew when you do that. I want to get that reaction.
Oh, man. You want me to?
Yeah.
Usually when we get them
yeah.
on, Tre'Davious, all those guys, I always ask them, Leonard Johnson, hey,
yeah.
man, you dropped
sure,
him this
you've
week.
Endeared yourself to that entire group.
You just got to do it like that sometimes.
All righty. Hey, we've talked about this a lot today, the incredible reaction from Bills fans donating money to the Andy Dalton Foundation, the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation. He and his wife with this foundation in Cincinnati. And think about it. You know, as Trey Wingo said, there's a lot of different ways to react to that. Send them chicken wings, great. Tweet them a message, great, whatever. But to actually take money out of your pocket and donate it to Andy Dalton's foundation is a way of expressing gratitude for that touchdown pass, that game-clinching, playoff-clinching touchdown pass, and how it benefited the Buffalo Bills. Just an amazing reaction, I think, from Bills fans. And Andy Dalton tweeted out a message a little bit earlier today about that. Let's listen in.
So here's an update on where we're at. We have over 4,500 donors now. We've raised over $100,000, and it continues to go up. And so we cannot thank you enough. This has been unbelievable. And let's keep it going. For those of y'all that don't know about the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation, we work with sick children and kids with special needs. And our primary focus is our Pass It On Fund, in which we provide financial aid for medical expenses such as treatments, chemo, radiation, and a bunch of different areas. And so this money is going to be put to good use. So let's keep it up, and I'll update you a little later today. Thanks.
The voice of Andy Dalton, Bengals quarterback, on the update, $100,000. We'll get some clarification. Andy Dalton's going to be on the show with us tomorrow, Donald.
He is going to be
cool?
on the show. I look forward to it. I look forward to – I just talked about the play. I look forward to hearing him talk about his foundation and how cool it is. I mean, who would have imagined? I'm sure he never imagined that another city would donate to his foundation because you actually made a play to help that city get into – I mean, this stuff is like – You couldn't
write this script.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
Couldn't make this stuff up.
Yeah, you can't write that script. Andy Dalton with us on the show tomorrow. Want to re-engage with you in a couple of minutes here. Where were you and how did you experience Sunday's Bills win over the Dolphins, the clinching play by Andy Dalton and the Bengals to put the Bills in the playoffs? Let's talk about it. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. There's a million different videos out there, but I know people have stories to tell. How they experienced it, the Bills ending the playoff drought. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call here from Don in Akron. Go ahead, Don. You're on the air. Hello, Don.
Since their first game, and I've seen a lot of good coaches. I think McDermott's a fantastic coach, but what he did for Kyle Williams yesterday was just unheard of. I've never seen that in football. Such a nice gesture. And
you mean the touchdown, giving him the ball?
Giving him the ball. Unbelievable.
I hear what you're saying, and there's an element of that. I think they're trying to win the game and get in the end zone with the play.
You have to win a game to get into the playoffs. This is not like you were already in the playoffs. None of that stuff matters. Let's get Kyle a touchdown or something. You actually have to win this game, you know. So this is not just charity. We're going to give Kyle a ball. They actually believe that he can make that happen. And like Kyle said, there was really only one situation that they would actually give him the ball. So
there was.
It just so happened that they got a pass interference. The ball ends up on the one-yard line. That's a perfect situation for him to get it and fall into the end zone.
And it was first and goal at the one.
Mm-hmm.
If it fails,
it's second and goal,
they're not
going
to give it to him on second down. I wouldn't think.
If he failed or if he fumbled or something like that, he'll never get it again.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Jedediah calling from Florida. Hello, Jedediah.
How you doing, John? How you doing, Donald?
Great. We're good.
Yeah, I was doing the usual, watching the game at the house, and after the Bills won, I was like, good, took care of that part. And then watching that Bengals game, and it's sitting there 4th and 12, I'm pacing in the kitchen, my wife's just quiet at the couch, and when it happened, I give that good, when he made the catch, thinking, all right, well, at least they're in field goal range now. And then when he turned it and scored that touchdown, I erupted, and it was like the locker room videos, but me by myself.
Yeah.
Right afterwards, started engaging in texts with my dad and other people, and within an hour, my work says, well, we want to thank you and take you up to the game. So they ended up getting me tickets, my son tickets, and my dad's flying in from New York, and they're getting him a ticket.
You're going to Jacksonville for the game?
I am, yep.
Where do you work? And do they have any openings?
You know what? I work for a drywall company, and they've done pretty good for us. And
What kind of company?
A nice gesture.
What kind of company?
Company.
What do you
say it one more time?
Drywall.
Oh, drywall.
Drywall.
Oh, okay.
That must be the greatest company in the world. Oh, your team won there. Let's give you a couple tickets. We'll get you up there to the game. Who does that?
Yep. It was, and let alone they bought my son one and my dad, you know, so let it be a nice family affair. So,
man, that's great.
Sure.
That's great.
All right, real quick, it kind of reminds me that caller earlier in the show was calling about family and like the Bills fans. And I took my family up to Atlanta for the Atlanta game. And that whole weekend, it was just like Little Buffalo. I mean, we were walking around, we went to the aquarium before, and it's just Go Bills everywhere. And then when we won that game, we're walking out of the streets, and it's just a constant chant echoing through the city. And it was about 9 o'clock, we're having dinner, and I still got my Bills jersey on. Fan comes by, sees it, holds his flag up, starts banging it on the window outside. It's nonstop for the rest of the evening. So
a lot of fun. Thanks very much for your call, and have fun in Jacksonville. That's amazing.
You know, we need that caller that we had a couple weeks ago. I think his name was like Kevin or something. Like, remember he got us pumped up that time?
Guy from California, right? Yeah. Wasn't he a California guy?
I believe so.
Yeah. He was great. Where were you? How did you react? We've got that topic out there. We'd love to hear from you at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. A tweet here from Jason Augers who says, I carried a Bills flag down to the corner of Niagara Falls Boulevard and Sheridan Drive. The whole intersection exploded in cheers and honking when I unfurled it. There's a lot of those stories out there, Donald. People erupted like, VJ Day or something. You know, it was crazy. Let's hear from you when we come back. Steve Tasker would like to – here's another one. Nick Blake tweets in, my wife and I hugged and cried together in the Bills man cave.
Aw.
Isn't that sweet? I wonder if that was her first trip inside Bills man cave. She's looking at her, what is this place? Is this where you've been?
Yeah,
give me a hug, you big lug.
Is that underwear under the
– What are these crumbs? Did you order a pizza? Steve Tasker wants to hear your stories as well. We'll do a lot of that when we return. The John Murphy Show, coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update comes live from One Bills Drive. Day off for the Buffalo Bills, but players here getting treatment, getting ready for the game coming up this weekend. A wild card playoff game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Big question mark, LeSean Shady McCoy. Adam Schefter reports that McCoy will be a game time decision. Yesterday, Bills head coach Sean McDermott said that the Bills got good news as far as his condition, but would not elaborate. So we'll see. Game time decision most likely for LeSean McCoy. Meantime, Jaguars coach Doug Marrone does not want to talk about his short stint with the Bills or his abrupt departure. He says it's a waste of time. What's past is past. Marrone spent two seasons as head coach here, led the Bills to a 9-7 record, first winning season in a decade, and then opted out of his contract after that. Bills and the Jaguars coming up 1 o'clock on Sunday. The game right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Houston Texans are looking for a general manager, and they're looking to Buffalo. Received permission to talk with Bills Vice President of Player Personnel, Brian Gain. Gain came over to Buffalo this past offseason from the Houston Texans. He was Rick Smith's right-hand man for three seasons while he was there, so the request comes as no surprise. The donations coming in to Andy Dalton's charitable foundation, a spike in donations from Bills fans. Just heard Dalton talk on Twitter about the fact that he's got $100,000 in new donations. His touchdown pass Sunday night not only sealed the Ravens' a win against the Ravens and knocked them out of the playoffs, but it secured Buffalo's first playoff berth since 1999. Buffalo Sabres head out for a three-game road trip starting tomorrow night in Minnesota. Buffalo lost in the Winter Classic yesterday 3-2 in overtime. And for the second time in seven seasons, it's an all-SEC final for the national championship. Number 2 Georgia and number 4 Alabama will meet in the College football playoff national championship Monday night. For Georgia, their first opportunity at a title since 1983. Alabama 4-1 in their previous five championship games, playing in their third straight title game, their sixth in nine seasons. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined for this third and final hour by longtime Bills special teams ace from the NFL on CBS, Wall of Famer for the Bills, Steve Tasker. Good afternoon, Steve. Welcome. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Let's talk to your buddies. I just want to pass along your buddies, James Lofton and Andrew Catalan.
Yeah,
saw
yeah.
them both in the booth in Miami. They were yeah. asking about you, asking if I ever see you. I said, yeah, I saw them a lot this week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They made a great call the game. I listened to the game, obviously, when I got back. I wanted to see all of it. I love working with Andrew, and James has been a friend of mine for, you know, going on 30 years.
Good guys. Hey, we've been asking folks here, you, of course, living here, being around the Bills as much as you are, we've been asking folks about where they were and what they experienced when the Bengals won, clinched the playoff berth for Buffalo. You had an interesting experience. You were on the road for CBS, right, covering the game in
Indianapolis,
the Texans and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and that Tell game was over, that. And I flew to the airport, and the Bills game started about the time we finished up, and we flew to the airport very fast, or not flew to the airport, but
right.
drove fast to the airport to get a flight. Got on the flight, and my connecting flight was from Indianapolis to Charlotte. So as I'm waiting, you know, listening to the game, I was actually listening to your broadcast, on the WGR app, you know. So
we do okay?
It sounded, yeah, fair to Midland. So, no, it was good. It was great. Now that I think about it, I had to listen to it on the NFL app.
Okay.
And I was listening to Joe Rose, Bob Greasy, and Jimmy Cephalo. So I wasn't listening to you. So that's why it was fair to Midland. So
yours is worse.
So anyway, so I'm listening to it and I'm trying to keep up with it. I felt good about the Bills' ability, particularly when I found out it was like 16-0 or whatever. And
yeah.
So I thought, it's the way they do it. They're going to hang on. So I get on the flight and I'm getting on. Then we forget about the Bills game. It's over. The Bills win. Everybody turns their attention to the Ravens, and then they scored. The Ravens scored late to take the lead by 3. And I get it. Okay,
yeah.
I'm getting
this
on
movie
and movie. Yeah, and I kind of we knew it was improbable. I get on the flight and I'm walking down the gangway and I get step into the doorway of the airplane and I look in, kind of looking around and the pilot's in there. And he turns around and he goes, "Oh my gosh, the Bengals just scored." I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, they just took the lead. It was unbelievable." I go, you got to announce that. He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, they're going to Buffalo. You got to announce that.
Yeah.
So sure enough, we got in, sat down. He announced it, and the whole plane roared. I mean, it was great. Everybody on there had skin in that game, and it was great.
What a
it was great.
Great.
I was texting back and forth with Howard Simon this morning. This is a better way to get into the playoffs than getting into the one seed. It's more fun.
Yeah.
You can't imagine a funner way to find out all together at the same time.
More dramatic.
We watched it, through Twitter and social media. We watched with the team in the locker room, with the fans in Dolphin Stadium, with people in the bus, in the living room. And we had all this, all this footage has come out. The Buffalo Bills Entertainment, they put out a couple of videos with your call and the Cincinnati call where Dave Laffin was doing his thing, stepping all over his board.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
He does that all.
He does that
constantly. That's his thing. It's
they
fun.
Must have some agreement.
Yeah, yeah. I think the guy knows. But it really was a fun way to get in the playoffs. I mean, good grief! That's how you want to go in, man. You want to go in. Woohoo! That's awesome. It was I was pretty special because all Bills fans everywhere were watching the exact same thing, and it was fun. It was fun.
It was amazing. We're getting a great reaction both on the phones and on Twitter. Where were you? What did you think? I want to read you a couple of these tweets because there's some great stories about where people were. D tweets in, "I was in the living room with my husband and daughter, 7 years old. After the Dalton touchdown, my CBS feed froze. And I had no idea what was going on.
Oh,
I started screaming at my TV. Then I saw Jim Kelly tweet that the drought was over, and I started screaming for different reasons." That would be the worst. Your TV.
I mean, your TV.
What's going on over there at CBS?
The CBS feed?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the CBS feed was still going.
Right.
She might have had a little problem in her neighborhood.
Hey, that's the worst. That is the worst, though, when something freezes moment. Like, no!
Don't stick needles in your Jim Nance doll because your feed went out,
Here's one. Bryce Little tweets in, "Had a fever on the couch, sick and shaking. The play happened, and I jumped up and down screaming. The sickness went away for a minute. My wife said she's never seen me like that. Now we're into miracle territory.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now we're into like miracle healing because of the Bills in the playoffs.
So when he's asking his wife for all types of help, babe, I need you. I don't feel good. Yeah, all right. Yeah, now Bills I know what scored. You can do. Yeah, right.
And here's one, and this resonates with me. Nathan Bonner tweets in, I was watching and my wife was putting our 10-month-old down for the evening to sleep. The Ravens – no, he means the Bengals scored, and I yelled and started screaming. She came in and said, you're going to wake her up. I said, I don't care. It's been 17 years. I'll hold her until she falls back. My experience, not with the Bills, watching the Dodgers World Series, Kirk Gibson, you hate baseball. Kirk Gibson's famous home run of the World Series. I had this is 28 years ago, my baby son Mark on my chest trying to get him to sleep Saturday night. Gibson hits a home run. I basically threw him up in the air, caught him. But, I mean, screaming. And my wife's like, what are you doing? What's going on? But that's kind of that moment. I think will resonate forever.
Two of my boys were watching it at my house, and he told me during the week last week, if they get in the playoffs, I will openly weep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They ended up not doing it. They were too happy,
right.
And to jump up and down and have it happen like that at the hands of another game being lost, and
a 4th-and-12.
And you hear stories about it all the time. People will remember this, you know, where they were when this drought ended and how it happened. It was a lot like it was with Fandemonium when we beat the Jets in the stadium and the fans stormed the field and
tore the
goalpost down. It'll be like the comeback game. It's 25 year anniversary on tomorrow. So. It's one of those moments, I think, that bears, you know, a historic significance for Bills Nation and everybody who's a Bills fan.
See, what is it, 3 weeks ago now? Is that 3 weeks? A few weeks ago when we were going into – it was Patriots week, and they were about to play the Patriots, and Steve and I were saying, man, if they win and they get in the playoffs in the last game of the season, it's going to be a crazy New Year's and all of that stuff. I mean, we didn't expect it to happen on the last play of the game on 4th-and-12, but – I mean, it just made the whole New Year's celebration, I'm sure, for this city amazing because you're already going to celebrate New Year's. But you remember we talked about it, and you're like, hold on, let's slow down a little bit. But now you know that
it was
that
a culmination.
Flight home was.
It was a culmination of a pretty good weekend in Buffalo sports with the USA playing outdoors in Ralph Stadium, winning in a shootout, the Sabres in the Winter Classic, and they lost in a shootout, the Bills getting into the playoffs. It was fun weekend.
Yeah.
Fun weekend.
You couldn't have had a more dramatic way, and I think Trey Wingo
couldn't have.
You could not have had a more dramatic way. For
I mean, it's not just the fact that they scored on 4th-and-12. It's the fact that he had just thrown an interception that got called back.
Yeah.
And
it couldn't have looked more hopeless.
Right. I'm telling you,
Andy
Dalton
been
sucks
more hopeless.
Right now. This dude is terrible. and then he drops a dime, and I'm like, oh!
Yeah. It couldn't have been worse unless they were backed up on their own 1 yard line.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was horrible. And it just, you know, so many, we're in Buffalo. I mean, we know how that is. It's like, yeah, that stuff happens. You know, and leading up to it, let's all admit it. You all play those games with yourself. Well, I'm not going to get involved. They ain't going to make it. I'm not going to hope they make it. I'm not going to believe they make it. I don't want to get my heart broken again.
Yeah.
And there's a whole generation of people now that have been, have that rite of passage that got their team in the playoffs.
I mean, they scored with, 40-something seconds
44
left?
44 seconds.
44 seconds left. I mean, you still wanted to wait. Like, hold on. Something could happen in the next 44 seconds, and the Ravens would go down and score and win the game or something like that.
I
you still wanted to
zeros,
wait. Yeah. Because, I mean, when they scored, it was crazy. Oh, the game is over. But then you think about it. Hold on.
Yeah.
This could happen, and they end up losing.
Yeah. We've seen it.
It would have been the happiest 44 seconds until they scored, right? You know?
All right, give us a call. Let us know your experience when the Bills clinched. What did you think? How did you feel? Got a call here from Jim in Orchard Park with thoughts on this. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, fellas. Listen, these guys got the greatest sports show in Buffalo, I'm telling you.
Who's that? Who does?
You guys.
Oh, okay, Yeah, I wanted to clarify.
Listen to you people, I'm telling you.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
But anyways, my experience is we had reservations go out New Year's Eve, and we're going to Ilio de Palos. Now, back in the 90s, when we were going to the Super Bowl, that was a hot spot. A lot of Bills players used to come in there, and they still do. Ilio was a big fan. When he was alive, and I remember he used to take dinners to the coaching staff on the weekdays and that. So I had a lot of association with that, with the Bills in the Super Bowl. So I'm watching the end of the Bills game. Okay, the Cincinnati game comes out. scored a winning touchdown. The place just broke out in applause, and people are crying. And I turn around, and I'm looking at everybody, and I just had this warm, cozy feeling coming over my whole body like deja vu. It's like I was back in the 90s again for the Super Bowl.
That would have been a good place to be, Ilios.
I wouldn't experience again, I don't think.
Yeah, I have watched that locker room scene with the players finding. I've watched it 10 times. And I watch it over and over again because I remember what that's like, you know, when you win a game like that for, you know, AFC championship or winning the division or you name whatever accomplishment. I've watched it over and over and over because I know how good that feels. There is absolutely nothing like it. And you talk about all the things that had to come together for the organization to turn it around and get to the point where they were there. And it starts with the guy that, if the viewers are there, it's Sean McDermott. I mean, that you talk about changing the culture. And I'm thinking about this a lot. And it came up really a lot with since Marcel Darius is going to be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. So many coaches say, and so many organizations say, hey, listen, I believe in having good guys, you know, and guys who dig deep when things are going wrong. I don't want headache guys. I want character guys. And they all say that. This organization with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott mostly, I guess, I mean, they believe it, and they are willing to trade great players who don't fit the profile to get a player who's the kind of human being they want because they value it more than a more talented player who is not that high in character. And, you know, people didn't get it. People thought it was crazy to trade away great players who weren't bad guys. I mean, it's not like Sammy was a problem or Darby or Reggie Ragland. Yeah. I mean, you go down the list. Now, you know, obviously Marcel had his issues, but he wasn't a bad person. Guys liked him. He was an okay guy in the locker room. But to make bold moves with great players for the reason anything other than football reasons, they were character issues, he's got to feel somewhat vindicated by that philosophy and the way it turned out for this team. Because the biggest difference. What? It's not the X's. I mean, they got the same quarterback. They got, you know, same, you know, the secondary is a complete remake. But that was part of the deal. So you got to feel somewhat vindicated as a head coach knowing that that philosophy and some of the things you did were strictly for that philosophy and to have it pay off like it did.
I mean, just go back to all of those players that you just named, but one that you can think of in particular, trade away Ronald Darby, who's actually doing pretty well out in Philly. You bring in E.J. Gaines, and everybody's like, you bring in E.J. Gaines? Who's E.J. Gaines? This guy is not nearly as talented as Ronald Darby, and they're 8-3 when he's in the lineup. Yeah. And the dude is making crazy plays, tackles, which is something that Coach McDermott wants and needs for his corners to be able to tackle, and that's what E.J. Gaines does. You know. And so they truly believe in all of the guys that they brought in through free agency. All of the guys that they drafted, it was all about character. Yeah, these are talented guys. If they're good enough to be here, but if they work hard and they're good character, good people, then they're going to work hard every day, and we're going to win some games because of that. And they were okay with letting some talent go. It's amazing that, you know, they were able to do this. When you look at the video of the locker room when it goes crazy, Coach McDermott did not jump up and down. He just dropped his head. Yeah, he just dropped his head and walked away like he was like, whew. All right.
You know, he was like, he just knew. I think he knew in his heart that's a big step this team just took. Oh, he almost jumped. You know, I mean, you can see him. He caught himself and he turned around. He turned around, kind of walked away with his head down. He actually took a knee in quiet prayer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to know what an enormous step that was. They came along way faster and accomplished way more than a lot of people thought they were even a month ago.
Right.
You know, when they dropped 4 out of 5 and they, you know, they made the quarterback switch and they didn't know anything. He said, nah, rookie head coach. That's a
big,
you
know,
you got, that's a big moment. That is a big,
nobody
big
expected,
moment.
Nobody expected, regardless of how you got into the playoffs, none of that stuff matters. You're in the playoffs. Nobody expected this team. There were so many people that said they're tanking. Back in the beginning of the season, back in the summer, this team is tanking. And now
it's unbelievable.
Where are they now?
And now he's sitting in the playoffs.
Crickets, man.
It's crazy. You know,
crickets. They're not calling. They're calling in to tell them where they were when when we clinched and how happy they were.
I was in that locker room moments after that, and the tears really got me. I got a little choked up then, too. I might just now. And, Steve, you can appreciate this. Many of the longtime staffers, you know, trainers and equipment people, I mean, openly crying, you know. And at first I was like, whoa. And then I was like, yeah, I get this.
You know
what?
Hey, it's better when you do it with people you love and respect. Yeah. It's one thing to do it with guys who you just kind of have to work with and they're knuckleheads and you don't do anything. You don't care about them. You don't know about them. You really, that's the way you want it because they're that kind of guy. But when you know those guys, and it's the way it was back in the day. We've said it a million times. They still that way with the guys I played with. That's kind of happened that way for us. Mm-hmm. And to go in that locker room and to see that locker room and that it's full of people who really care about each other, who are really together. And the good part about it is that it would have been that way had that ball fallen incomplete, yeah, too, if they didn't get in the playoffs. That's a group of guys in there that are really hanging in there together. They did it throughout a rough up and down season.
I mean, you talk about ups and downs of a season. Imagine Tyrod Taylor right now. You know, a guy who was playing good earlier in the season, then he gets benched, and they bring in a rookie. He throws 5 interceptions, then they put you back in, and you end up now as the quarterback on a team that is sitting in the playoffs that hasn't been there in 17 years. I mean, it's a roller coaster of emotions for him. And I'm sure after that game was over, the Bengals and Ravens game, it was like, wow, this is cool. I'm the quarterback of this team that actually
And it's also true. That's why guys like Tyrod and all these high-character guys, you can coach the way you want to coach because they're going to dig deep. Like Tyrod's been through more adversity than any quarterback in the league, maybe.
All right. Hey, we're talking to you about where you were when the Bills clinched, when the Bengals won, and what did you think? How did you react? Leah on the line from Lancaster. Go ahead, Leah. You're on the air with us.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in because, I'm a Bills fan by marriage. So my husband has been a lifelong Bills fan, and he's been one of those, you know, really gung-ho. Every year they're going to the Super Bowl, even though it's been disappointing most of the time. So this past New Year's Eve, we were all sitting down. My mother-in-law and I were sitting in the dining room waiting to eat, and we had our plates, and my husband was sitting in the kitchen watching the Bills had won, and he was watching the Bengals play, and they ended up winning, and he just let out a scream. What happened? And I look over, and his face is bright red, and I thought he was going to break down in tears, and my husband never cries. So, and my father-in-law sitting there, and he's usually a really stoic guy, and he just got the biggest smile on his face. He started pumping his hands, and he started saying, "We're going to the Super Bowl."
Yeah. Oh. Hey, wow.
Yeah, okay.
Leah, quick question. How long have you been married?
13 years.
13 years. When did you start dating? How long have you been together?
About 15, 16 years ago.
So you're right in this drought.
Do you have any drought
babies? You became
babies?
A fan within the drought.
Do you have any drought babies, Leah?
Those were good when I was a kid, and it was
Leah, do you and your husband have any drought babies?
Huh?
Do you and your husband have any kids?
We've got 6.
You have 6 kids all born during the drought?
During the drought?
Yes. Our oldest.
Please stop the question in there, Steve. You're getting me
nervous. I didn't think it was going to be that answer. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit taken back now by that. I wish I'd.
I'm getting a little
you got me on that one, Leah. Congratulations, Leah. That is awesome.
Where's this line of questioning going, Steve?
I was going to say, you know, everybody looks for a reason how they can help out. And, you know, stop, Leah, you can stop having babies now, I guess.
Thanks.
Well, we're just going to add to the future Bills.
There you go. All right. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks,
that's great.
Leah. I want to squeeze in one more call here. This is from Mike. Mike, your thoughts on where were you when the Bills clinched?
Drought babies.
What? Drought babies.
Hey, there's a whole generation of drought
they're all
babies.
In middle school and high school now.
Get that for all the Bills fans out there. That's a new term. Drought babies.
I'm a drought baby.
I'm a drought baby. I'm a baby boomer. My kids are drought babies.
Mike, you're on the air with us. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, we were at my friends and I were at the Niagara Falls Casino. We're watching the game, and there's a band playing at the same time the game's on. The second the Bengals scored, you would have thought everybody in the casino won a jackpot. they just outshined the band. It was an entire booming noise in that casino.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Hey, I just one more question. I mean, on a serious point, I mean, I know I'm going to cause any controversy right at the end. Do you think that Russ Salvatore's decision not to play the game now when this happened hurt him?
Wait, run that by me again.
Say it again.
Russ Salvatore, you know, had this little bit of controversy about the game being switched.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That the way that this turned out, that kind of hurt him?
Hurt
his what? His business?
Yeah, because the way he was always such a big Bill supporter, and he all of a sudden he took the stand.
Oh, listen, yeah, but listen, Bill, yeah, Russ didn't take it because he didn't like that. Russ didn't take that. I'm not really that familiar with what you're talking about, but I'm sure Russ didn't take offense to it because he doesn't like the Bills anymore. What he didn't like the fact that they switched him to a 425 game because that he had to probably change his whole day, mm-hmm. and he's got a couple of hundred people working for him. That's kind of a pain for him, I imagine. But no, listen, Russ Salvatore is one of the all-time great guys, and he's a huge Bills supporter, and he's done a lot of things for me and some of the charity work I've done in and around the city. I don't have a bad thing to say about Russ. That's not going to hurt him at all. He's got too much goodwill going in the city.
Hey, Steve, we got a lot more to talk about, including the matchup with the Jaguars, which, by the way, you'll be calling on the radio in Westwood 1, right?
I'll be on the sideline. Me and Sal. Me and Sal and Tracy Wolfson will be down there as well. Wow. Yeah, so we'll have a whole crew for the playoffs.
You, like, bounce things off of each other?
No, but I tell you, I always ask Tracy what she got, because she'll talk to the coaches on the way in. So I'll get them, and Sal and I will ask her what she got from them so we can relay it to your broadcast and our broadcast.
Good people.
See, you guys, and for people always who don't know, Murph and Mark Kelso and Sal will come back to the Buffalo market like they always do. And the Jaguars will have their radio crew that will go back to the Jacksonville fans. And then everybody else in the whole country and satellite radio will get the Westwood One feed, which is us. Mm-hmm. And which is why we get some considerations for that. We get some access because we get the second interview, post-game interview. So if TV takes Tyrod after the Bills win, I can take LeSean, or I can take Charles Clay, or I can take anybody else. I get the second pick, and we'll get a quick post-game, live post-game interview for that. And that's one of the things we get as Westwood. So it's kind of fun. Believe me, they asked me as soon as the game was over. I got a text saying, "Do you want that game?" And I
was like,
"Yeah."
I thought about it for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, we want to talk to you about that matchup, about some of the coaching things going around the league. Steve, of course, covers the whole league for the NFL on CBS. We'll take more of your phone calls. Steve Tasker returns in a moment with Donald Jones and me, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
First and goal from the one. They give it to Kyle Williams. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown! Kyle Williams, touchdown! He lined up at the fullback spot and rumbled into the end zone. Kyle Williams scores a touchdown, and everybody falls flat on their back.
Kyle Williams scores from the Hunt Real Estate Red Zone. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all of your real estate needs. Nobody's ever going to get sick of that play. You know what I mean?
Kyle Williams?
Yeah. Not for a while.
I mean, unbelievable.
That was, I mean, anytime, I love to see the fat guys actually score because, for me, growing up in inner cities, the linemen always wanted to be the skill position guys. They want to play basketball. They want to be wide receivers, running backs. And I remember we had two linemen on my high school team, both of them 400 pounds, always asking the coach, "Coach, you should give me the ball. You should give me the ball." And we never gave him the ball, but – you know, I just know that those guys, it's like they dream of that opportunity to be able to score a touchdown.
I called Kyle on the plane coming home. I said, "Hey, fridge." And he gave me a dirty look, and I said, "Oh, I guess he didn't like that." He didn't take kindly to that.
That's right. Yeah. It's like calling you Les Nessman.
Hey, Steve Tasker is with us for the next couple of minutes here. I want to talk to you. Steve, we got a caller who says he's got a question for you. Tom in Rochester. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm honored to reminisce one more time. Not that last night was enough. I called in last night, too. I haven't gotten out of my system. I made my $17 donation, by the way, to andydalton.org.
Very nice.
Good. Congratulations. Thank you.
But anyhow, I couldn't have been more happy for, well, all of us, obviously, the whole organization, the city. Let's throw Rochester in there. We're huge Bills fans. And
absolutely.
Kyle Williams, especially. You know, when they called that play, he must have had a tremendous amount of self-control not to want to spike it. I love seeing the big men spike the ball, and he just threw it up like a little powder puff, and then we saw what happened. But anyway, I don't know. I'm just very psyched, and who knows what can happen, you know, on any given day.
I think this is a pretty good matchup for the Bills. I got to tell you, I do, Tom. I think Tyrod will give Jacksonville's defense a lot of problems. He leads the league in average time to throw the football.
Yeah.
I think our secondary matches up extremely well with their wide receiving core. I don't trust Blake Bortles, even though he's had absolutely the best season of his career, in my opinion. He doesn't turn it over much. But I think our secondary is what they're going to have to lean on. They're going to have to force Blake Bortles to throw the football. And they're 21st in the league or 22nd in the league against the run. So if Shady can go, we shouldn't be able to hang on to the football and churn out some first downs. I think it'll be a very good game, and I think the Buffalo Bills are going to have a chance to win it. So I think it's a really good football game. And I've always said on a wild card weekend for me is some of the best football of the year.
Except for last year's wild card weekend. It was terrible. But it is some of the best
was
football.
It? Was it last year?
I remember thinking back, but man, that
yeah, so they get some blowouts
games.
And stuff. Yeah, usually
you had
usually you see the blowouts in the division round when you get those good teams who won their division, had a week off, and you get that team who fight, and like the Bills, fought and clawed and scratched, get in there, and they blow everything up, and that wild card weekend, they manage to win it somehow, and then all of a sudden they go on the road to a team that's really good and really rested, and they get beat up, so... To me, though, I'll stick with it. I've always said the wild card weekend is one of the great weekends in football.
Jacksonville's defense is formidable, Steve, and you mentioned they're 21st against the run. They're number one against the pass, number two defense. Let me double check. Number two defense overall in the league. Number two in sacks.
They're good.
Two Pro Bowl corners. Two Pro Bowl defensive linemen.
They are no joke. They are real.
Yeah.
And they're very good. They're talented. Calais Campbell had a great year this year. Jalen Ramsey at cornerback is a phenomenal player, a really good player, second-year player who is an elite corner.
Yeah.
And he's smart. He's aggressive. I mean, he's got it all going on. Plus, he's a little bit of a talker, too, so he tries to get guys out of their game plan. So they've got some guys on that side of the ball. No, absolutely no question about it. Paul Puzlesny still there.
I was saying to Donald, the Bills just beat them by seven last November, 2016. And I came away from that game. I remember talking with you about it. Puzlesny and Telvin Smith, the two inside linebackers, they're players. And they can run all day.
I was just about to say it because last year when Tyrod was trying to get outside the pocket, those guys are right there with him.
Yeah,
he wasn't able to outrun those linebackers.
Yeah, Telvin Smith can outrun or run as fast as Tyrod can.
Yeah.
And he will. I mean, he's a lot like Ryan Shazier for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They can scoot.
Right.
And that's kind of the trend now. And they're not big. I mean, he's like a 230 guy, you know, 230-pounder. But, man, oh, man, he's a good tackler, and they can get everywhere on the field in a heartbeat.
This team,
it's going to be a tough game.
Better come ready for a physical game.
Yeah.
And that's on both sides of the ball because our defense, that team, Blake Bortles might throw you a couple of interceptions, but they are going to lean on Leonard Fournette and Ivory,
two running backs.
And neither one of those guys want to run around you. They're trying to run through you every single time.
We all think that the Bills are a pretty strong running team, but here's the number one rushing team in the NFL offense, the Jacksonville Jaguars, with those two, Fournette and Chris Ivory. Total change-up backs, too, totally different styles.
I told you, we went down and watched Jacksonville play in Houston opening weekend after Hurricane Harvey this last year, and I didn't know anything about Leonard Fournette. I told you that week.
Yeah.
That guy's my offensive rookie of the year right now. That guy is a guy, and he has lived up to it the entire season.
So there's a path to victory here, and I think a lot of it from as we start to crystallize our thinking about this game, and I'm just diving into video tonight, but a lot of it I think deals with Blake Bortles and his first playoff appearance, right, and maybe his propensity to put it up for grabs.
I think the ability for the Bills to get him to throw that thing on time and our – the defensive backs of the Bills have got to generate some turnovers, and that'll be the key to the game. That's after you got to stop that run.
I mean, So you got to stop the run. You got to create turnovers. On offense, you still got to score points. So you ask yourself, okay, the reports are Shady is a game-time decision, so we'll see how that plays out. But regardless of if he's 100% or not, I mean, regardless if he plays or not, I don't think he's going to be 100% in that game. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But what'd you think of Marcus Murphy and how he looked in that game?
He was good. I mean, I thought he was good. I wish Travaris Cadet was healthy. I thought he provided an extra dimension in the passing game in particular. But I thought for a guy who I didn't know anything about, really, he's been around here in the practice squad, I thought Marcus Murphy did a pretty good job.
I mean, you think about the guys that they've brought onto this roster, Brandon Bean, Coach McDermott. And these guys have actually stepped up and made plays in games. You're like, wow, starting with a Traverse Cadet who comes in, and you're like, wow, this dude is – he's pretty good. And now Marcus Murphy, who's been around for a little bit. But he did look good to me as well, yeah. You know. But I think that's one of the keys to the game. What's going on with LeSean McCoy?
Yeah.
And how healthy is he? Is he playing like the same player that we've seen him play for the last couple of years?
You're going to have to make a roster move, bring it, make sure you're that deep at that position as you want to be. And you're going to have to, you know, next guy up. I know it sounds good, but – and they keep finding these guys, and they keep playing extremely well. There's no question that the running back positions had a little bit of a renaissance in the last year or two. So,
Hey, I want to talk to you, Steve, before we let you go, about coaches and some of the coaching vacancies that are out there. There is no coaching vacancy in Jacksonville. Doug Marrone has his team in the postseason. I was thinking, among people who covered this team over the recent years, you probably had as good a relationship with Doug Marrone as anybody.
Yeah.
Why are we – I don't hate anybody. Let me say that at the outset. I don't hate Doug Marrone. But there's something about him that rankles Bills fans. Is it just walking away when he did?
So.
Was it his demeanor while he coached? Is it all of the above?
No, I don't think it's his demeanor. I think people can let the guy be who he is as long as he's effective. He was 9-7 with this club. I think the fact that
– it wasn't easy to deal with.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares about
– You know about
that. Fans picked up on that.
They might have.
But you would know more about him being the building than the fans do.
Yeah. I think for the most part, I think it's the fact that he walked away from the contract.
Right. Yeah.
I think that says a lot about where the organization was back then, and you can point to a lot of reasons for the drought, but there's no question that, you know, the Bills had two head coaches who resigned, Mike Mularkey and Doug Marrone. And even way back in the day, in my day, they fired the best general manager maybe in the history of the league, who's now in the Hall of Fame. It wasn't an easy place to work, and it was hard to get guys to say yes to that deal. And it was funny that when it came out that Doug Marrone had the option to walk away from it, that gave you an idea of how hard it was to find a guy to say yes.
Yeah.
And that's what the organization has been fighting against for a long time. So now that seems to be different. And no question, Doug Marrone, when he took that, had that, he probably had his good reasons for it. Maybe we'll never know the real reasons. You hear rumors and all of that about what he thought he had, another job he thought he had, or whatever. None of that came to fruition, and he just walked off. So, for me, I think that's one of the reasons people are, like, ready to rub his face in a little bit, along with Marcel Darius down there and, you know, all the things that happened. Paul Posluszny's down there. But for the most part, I have a hard time dredging up a lot of negative passion over all that stuff.
Yeah,
I think I'm just too happy about this team getting in I want him to play well.
And I don't want to mislead anybody. I've seen Marrone a couple of times since he left here, and cordial, friendly. You know,
He's a good dude.
He's a decent guy.
It's a different world when he's not the head coach of the team.
What are you laughing about?
He is. Of course he is. But, you know, and it is a different aura, and he has a different personality when he's not the head coach of the team. He doesn't have a competitive edge to keep up every time. He doesn't have information he doesn't want to get out. He doesn't have, you know, all of that stuff to deal with in a relationship, which affects everything when you're on the football side and crossing over as a friendship to the media side. A
couple of things around the league, coaching vacancies. John Gruden to the Raiders, your thoughts on that? Why does that make sense
could happen.
If it happens?
It could happen. I think he's ready to do that. I think from what I heard, that they're backtracking on the contract that they gave him at ESPN. He's not going to make the big dollars that he did as the analyst.
Really? I think the Raiders,
the deal I've heard, it's been reported that they're offering him a chunk of ownership as well as as well as eight digits for a salary. That's hard to walk away from and say no to.
Yeah.
Plus, I think the cachet that he brings as a face of the franchise, he'll handle it. He's stayed in the game. He obviously loves the nuts and bolts of it. He's a three-hour-a-night sleep guy. I think he's the kind of guy that could lead that organization. And I think in this day and age, that's where it comes from, is the head coach, not the general manager.
Because of quarterbacks, that's how teams typically are evaluated. That's probably how guys like Gruden and these others make their decisions. What's the best vacancy open out there? Is it, in fact, the Oakland Raiders with Derek Carr? Is it the Bears with Trubisky, who I know you have a ton of respect for? Is it the Detroit Lions with a veteran at quarterback? What do you think of the most lucrative?
Well, I think all three of those are very attractive spots. And Indianapolis has got Andrew Luck, who you've got to think he's going to come back and be as good as ever. He's working very hard at it. But I think it might be the Oakland Raiders because it's an ownership – and Mark Davis, who just likes to be the owner, says, "Oh, do your thing. You know, as long as you know you don't embarrass us and you win games, you're fine."
Right.
They're moving to LA or to Vegas in a couple of years. You're going to have all new facilities. You're going to get all that. And plus, you've got a defensive stud in Khalil Mack, and you've got an offense run by a great young quarterback with a couple of wide receivers that are great. So I think Oakland's a great spot for a coach to land for all of those reasons.
I would have to agree and go with Oakland and Detroit, just because in Detroit you have a veteran quarterback who's pretty good, you know, one of the talented quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, you have some talented receivers there. I think you look at, like, Indianapolis. Yeah, they have Andrew Luck, but they have – well, who knows what's going on with his whole arm and everything. But they have so many holes on that team. It's just – that's a job that you'd be like, man, I mean, you might get a guy who just wants to build it from the ground up, though. You know, it really depends. I don't know if a guy like Gruden wants to come in and build something from the ground up, though. He might want to go to a place like Oakland where he has the talent, and maybe we can win right away.
You start by looking at the past decades of success or failure of the franchise, and you go from there.
Yeah.
If they've been successful at any point in their history, that's where they kind of know how it's done. You go and you look at Detroit, and it's never been successful.
Right.
Chicago, they caught lightning in a bottle in 1985. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, they've got some world championships, although not under this guy, his dad, and he's been around the organization his whole life. So and Indianapolis, they've got a world championship under that ownership, although maybe in spite of.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Well, they had the best quarterback of all time, he was there for 13 years. They never won less than 10 games his entire time there, and he couldn't get enough help after 13 years. They won one.
Right.
And they got to two. That's not good enough, and that comes from higher up than the players.
These other two vacancies will not be, because of quarterbacks mostly, I believe, not be that lucrative. The Giants with an aging Eli Manning and the Cardinals with, who knows, a quarterback.
Yeah, but I think the Giants are pretty – that's a phenomenal organization.
I think Gettleman brings a lot,
stable organization. Dave Gettleman is a very respected name.
Yeah.
The ownership is solid and stable and supportive. You're going to get your contract. You're not going to get kicked to the curb after 2 years, even if you're mediocre. So I think that's a really attractive place, because forget about the quarterback. Forget about that. It's the ownership is stable. You got a great organization, and they're very supportive of whoever they get.
Right.
That may be the toughest division to win, because those guys are all in. But I think the Giants is just as attractive as the Oakland job.
When you look at the team, last year they had one of the best defenses in the league. This year wasn't the same. They had a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball. You have one of the – in terms of talent on the offensive side, you have Odell. You have a young tight end, a young Shepherd, the other wide receiver. You just need a running game. You need some offensive linemen there that can protect an Eli Manning. The biggest question is, do they go out and draft a quarterback in the first round because you have an aging – Eli Manning.
And on the Arizona job, and I agree with you on the Giants, both of you, but don't discount the stability in the ownership in Arizona. I think Michael Bidwell's done a great job just laying the foundation there. They've got a strong fan base. They've got a strong organization.
That is an absolutely great.
The GM is
I think
solid.
It's a great one. Now they've got some holes in their roster. Their quarterback, I mean, who's going to play quarterback for them?
That's the issue.
But that's a great organization. I like Mike Bidwell as well. I've met and spoken with him. Very sharp, former federal prosecutor. So once he learned how to be an owner, he had the intelligence to make it work.
Steve, you'll be there sideline Sunday.
Can't wait! It's going to be an absolute blast. I can wear a golf shirt.
You might be able to. I haven't checked the weather.
I know, right?
It's going to be all right. I looked at weather.
I was like, oh, you know what? I can just go with a backpack. I'll be my carry on. You know, it's all. It's going to be great.
Thanks for coming on with us, Steve. We appreciate it. Happy New Year to you,
Steve. Congratulations, man. You're doing a playoff game.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Steve. Steve Tasker with us in studio. We've got more to come on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Kyle Williams in studio with us earlier on. Kyle Williams talked about what it feels like to make the playoffs.
I understand, and I think our football team understands why we've gotten here. And, you know, coach talks about the process and everybody wants to make jokes about it, you know, about, you know, hashtag the process and air quote it and all that. But it's a reality. The reality is our preparation has given us an opportunity to be in the postseason, get here. And I would think knowing our football team and knowing our men, that their preparation is going to be on point. The energy and the intensity this week is going to be high.
Also today, Trey Wingo from the NFL coverage on ESPN talked about Sunday's matchup, the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If Blake Bortles can be turnover-free, they're a very difficult team to beat. But if Blake Bortles is going to be what he's been for most of his career, and that's give you some freebies, they are a very beatable team. You know, we always talk about what Bill Belichick says is not, don't lose games. I mean, give yourself a chance to win by not losing. And I think that if the Jaguars can avoid giving the game away, they have a very good chance to win. But if Blake Bortles is going to play like that, Buffalo has every right to go in there and win it. Hopefully, if we can get Shady back on the field.
Trey Wingo from ESPN NFL Live. We've had a great time today talking to fans about their experience, what it was like on Sunday. But starting tomorrow, we got to spin it forward a little bit. Look
forward
at this next game.
This is a big week. Big week. I'm looking forward to it, though. It was good to hear all the stories, but now I'm looking forward to talking about that team, which is a pretty good team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and see what the Bills can do against them.
I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon, with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.